DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
Randy Orton beat me fair and square. That's what happened. He was the better man. I lost. That happened. It was that damn stipulation. If I lose, I'm fired. My job, my dream. I shouldn't be surprised, because for over two decades, the McMahons have hated the Rhodes. My dad set Ford on fire. He was a Hall of Famer. He shows up here, they put him in polka dots, and they make him dance. My brother was a second-generation stud, the Natural, and I loved him. And they put him in gold paint, and he has never been the same. And me, I have a wife to provide for now, Josh.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is, huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Yes! Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that's not going to come off really weird. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's why I just got to... Third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Greg DeMarco Show, Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, and Sue Young. But no Sue Young. No Sue Young this week. She will return next week. She actually had a little bit of a fender bender and will not be on the program. I know. Yes, she did. Nothing too bad. Nothing too bad at all. No cause for alarm if you're out there listening. No cause for alarm. Everything will be okay. So, but we are here. We've got a very fun show planned for today. We might talk a little bit of wrestling. I don't know. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes. Actually, this week we have more wrestling. We only have one interview this week, Patrick O'Dowd.
That means that we're going to talk for 7 hours in the interview. Like, we're going to go over.
That's true.
Every time we do this show, and you're like, oh, we only got like one interview today. We're going to have all this time to talk about wrestling. We never have any time to talk about wrestling.
That's true. That is true. The guest
like
just sucks it up.
You asked me for a topic. You asked me for something to talk about this week, and I already know it's not coming up.
You don't think so?
I actually think it's a good topic too, but I don't think we'll make it. I bet you. I will bet here at this moment right now, and you can't manipulate it to try and prove me wrong. Like, this has to happen organically. I predict that we won't get to my top. This is the new tag team wrestling topic of the show.
Well, and it's the kind of topic that we don't have to discuss this week either.
Exactly.
Like, that's the crazy part. We could talk about this topic next week or next month or next year, provided one of these gentlemen does it, like, your TNA. Because it is TNA, and you just never know.
Oddly enough, if it follows the same track that my theory follows, we may be talking about it in a year.
True.
Just in a different way.
You're right. You're 100% right. So, but we are. We do have one interview. We're going to talk about a lot of great things. Our interview this week, gentleman by the name of RJ City. If you heard our interview several weeks ago with Ashley Six, it was one of those, we asked the question that we always like to ask, which is who was one of the people that we're not paying attention to. And that was his immediate answer. And, of course, as par for the course, I always try to set that person up. And RJ City was immediately jumping all over that. And I'm very excited to have him on. So, star of screen, stage, and ring, RJ City, as we'll talk about during his interview today. Yeah, he's on a TV show. He's been in a movie. And, of course, he's a professional wrestler. So, should be lots of fun. Whenever someone is a character in the kids' version of American Gladiators, that's going to cause some fun. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, I would think so.
So, of course, tonight we will also do our Night of Champions preview. Chad Perry is out partying the celebrating the beginning of the football season. So Night of Champions will literally just be the two of us. It's like old days.
Wait. Chad Perry's not watching that horrid show on E?
I don't think he is, actually. I think he's celebrating.
Wow.
Who knows? He said he may try to call in. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with Chad Perry. Who knows?
I know that one of his Super Bowl picks has already lost the game, and so apparently that means they can't make the Super Bowl.
One of my Super Bowl picks has also lost the game, and it doesn't mean they can't make the Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, no kidding. I felt like with Chad being the sports expert, maybe I should have tried to catch up with him and argue some football, you know, outside of the wrestling show.
I'm surprised you don't just do it during the wrestling show like you and Steve Cook used to do all the time.
You know, I'm trying to be better about this. You know, I want to do this for the good of the show. Plus, I'm just tired of getting berated outside of the show by the host. it's really annoying. Like, it doesn't really upset me too much, but it's just tedious.
Aw, Puddin'.
Exactly. Like, I don't need it.
It's okay. It's quite all right.
You have a vagina!
Whatever, man. You hurt me.
I hurt you. Aww,
that's right.
You're going to be okay. You really are. It's all going to work out in the long run for you. I just know it.
I'm sure it will.
I just know that someday, everything is going to be okay.
Hi, my name's Leanne from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Then two-time VOC Nation Babe of the Week, Leanne Marie?
Cool. Yes, it is. I heard it was a little Irishman's birthday over there, so I figured I should get the call. Happy birthday. You know what?
Shut up!
All right, I didn't want to play all 52 seconds of the soundbite, so we can actually talk about some wrestling.
It's a great
We are live, of course.
Though.
It is a great 52 seconds. You know, I could send it to you, and you can make it your ringtone. If you really wanted to.
Yeah, that'd be kind of odd.
Awkward. Make it the ringtone for the work phone. That'd be great.
Oh, no.
You'd have to answer it before she started talking. Like, it'd be like, doom,
no,
doom, doom. You'd be like, get the phone.
See, if I was going to really mess it up, like if I was going to set that ringtone off to like ruin my life, you make it like the ringtone for the Mrs. O'Dowd. And then she'd be like, what's that all about? I was like, I wish this is how you sounded. Oh, sorry.
Well, here's the thing. She would never hear it because she'd be calling you, so you wouldn't be in the same room.
That's true. But
see, that's actually the best thing
But here's the thing is, I lose my phone a lot,
yeah,
and so the answer to try and find the phone is call the phone.
Mm.
So, I mean, the sweet, sweet sound of Leanne Marie's voice guiding me to my phone is
well, see,
that's
going to be great because the race to the phone would be on. Like, as soon as it started ringing, you try to get to it before the voice started talking. That would be fun to watch.
Y'all wouldn't know entertainment if it slapped you in the face!
Anyway, we are live on the Pro Wrestler Powerhouse Pro Wrestling Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Head on over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for much more. And, of course, you can buy a Greg DeMarco Show t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/GregDeMarco. I've been utilizing a new logo in the advertising, as you saw, and it's probably going to become a new official t-shirt design.
Ooh.
And you can hit up the all-new GregDeMarcoShow.com. And Patrick O'Dowd, you might remember 2 weeks ago, we were joined by Michael Kingston, the man mm-hmm. behind the Headlock yeah. comic book series. There's still time. There's only like a couple days left to contribute to the Kickstarter campaign. They're still adding. Like, there's still points where you can get more things added. I think they're like $500 away from adding another like 48 pages of free content. So as someone who's already backed the project, I'd love people to continue to back it so we get the extra 48 pages of free content. But if you're a fan of wrestling and comics, there's no reason not to get in the action, support this, especially even at the cheapest level where you're still going to get some free stuff. So head on over to Kickstarter.com, search for Headlocked because there's no easy way to just type it in the way they do it, and support the project because the deadline is coming down. They've already met their goal, so they're going to get the money. They're going to continue the project, but now it's going to allow them to do more stuff. So get out there,
yeah,
support
yeah, everything's
it.
Gravy now at this point.
It
all
is,
gravy.
But it's good gravy. It's the kind of gravy you just want to dip like a roll in, although I don't really dip rolls in gravy anymore. But still, that's what the wife would do, that the lovely and talented Mrs. DeMarco would do. So, Patrick O'Dowd, you weren't here last week as we talked about this, but the big story in professional wrestling right now, and it's been the big story for the past, since SummerSlam, of course, is the establishment of Triple H as the new Mr. McMahon and Randy Orton as the new corporate champion. And Patrick O'Dowd, Raw seemingly has had the same ending for the past 3 weeks. You as a fan watching, are you okay with this? Do you think they should be doing something different? Where do you stand on the continual beatdown of Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton standing tall to end Raw?
I'm still not tired of it. I do think that we're at that point where if we do this for a fourth week and he hasn't gotten the best of the bad guys at the end of Raw, which I think he will, because if the WWE follows what I believe is their standard programming, the guy who's going to lose the Night of Champions will get the best of Randy Orton the night, you know, the go home show before Night of Champions. So I think he does get the best. I think this is a marathon, not a sprint sort of story. And so, you know, I think that the WWE recognizes that they've got a face right now that they can really drum up some real sympathy for, and they're doing it, and they're doing it in a way that I don't necessarily feel like it's like Daniel Bryan looks weak in what's happening to him. I think that some of the other outside elements, like I kind of agree. If anybody read your 5-1 this week, I kind of agree with Tony Acero. Like, the Big Show thing was kind of stupid. I don't get it. Like, I would have liked to have seen him not, you know, blubbering and crying the whole time while, like, agonizing over whether or not to work a wrestling match. The punching thing I got, but the other part was just like, come on.
Right. Like, they never had a problem fighting each other before,
nope.
But now that Triple H wants the Big Show to do it, and look, the Big Show has been turned more times than Lex Luger. Like, it's, you know, people were complaining about Mr. Anderson's turn on Impact Wrestling, and every generation has these wrestlers who turn like crazy. And to be honest with you...
They think that's an official turn. Okay, go ahead.
For who? Anderson?
For Mr. Anderson.
I think he busted out the Mr. Anderson stick at the end, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's nice. And when we get a finger poke of doom situation this week, you heard it here first, people.
Yeah, well, I know, and I hope not. I would hate to see the finger poke of doom, but I would not be surprised.
I don't know that it's going to be finger poke, but I'm pretty sure that Anderson's not completely leaving the fold.
Yeah, well, they're heel heavy right now in TNA, too, so that wouldn't necessarily surprise me. Although Austin Aries is basically a face again, so who knows? It's craziness in the professional wrestling with the turns.
Anyway,
right,
sorry, I totally derailed that conversation.
No, I did, actually, when I jumped into the Big Show, the Big Show turning. I mean, and everyone, of course, is harping on the ironclad contract. Professional wrestling is the only genre where people will literally try to hold you to things that have happened 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 years ago, depending on what it is. Look, when Lost ended, there were so many loose ends not tied up that the producers flat out said, oh, we'd never planned to resolve that, and the fan base did not have the reaction that a wrestling fan base would have.
Yep.
And it's just crazy. Like, every minute little detail must be scrutinized sometimes. Like the Ironclad contract could have had an end date. Like, I actually wish they would have just said it expired and Triple H signed him to a new deal and Triple H is holding that over his head. I don't like the – someone suggested that Triple H and Stephanie say, we're just going to make your life a living hell, because that's something the Big Show can fight back against. Because the Big Show could still essentially do whatever he wanted in Retribution. And while that might have actually been entertaining, that wouldn't have told the story they're telling now.
Yeah. I remember reading in one of the suggested things. I think, again, as came out of your – as I'm pimping your article like crazy today.
I know.
The 5-1. I think one of the comments that I also read or saw in that whole thread that I was fine with – is, yeah, you have an ironclad contract, you can't be fired, but you still have to wrestle or you still have to work. So, like, Triple H, you know, making their life a living hell, it could be like, I'm going to make the Big Show my personal, like, he could become a reluctant Snitsky from back when Eric Bischoff used to, like, when he wanted to sick somebody that was going to be, like, trouble for the face, it was almost, after a 3-minute warning, it was Snitsky.
Exactly. And see, that's funny. Like, people want to make the corporation comparison. Well, you've got Snitsky, who's the Big Show, and you've got The Shield, who were 3-minute warning. Like, that's
exactly
a great comparison that no one has thought of, myself included. You're a brilliant man, Patrick O'Dowd.
It's what happens when you give me a week off.
I know. So Patrick O'Dowd will be back in 2 weeks on the Greg DeMarco Show. He will be here for Scarlet Bordeaux in 2 weeks, by the way, taking your calls at 760-888-5749. And you were just spewing the knowledge this week.
Yeah, I did a lot. Okay, this happens every once in a while, and I know it's getting close to interview time. When I run into time where I get to do, like, just sit and watch, like, whatever, mm-hmm. when it comes to wrestling, I sometimes do, like, that's when I start realizing stuff. Like, I watched the 25 Greatest Rivalry documentary that the WWE put on, and it made me think a lot about how much we need John Cena in the WWE, because as much as people hate him, he's done more to probably put over three of the top up-and-comers out there right now, and Edge. And I'm not even kidding, like, admitted by Edge. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, people want to run down John Cena. John Cena does make stars in a way that Hulk Hogan never did.
Well, and I remember how you and I felt when Cena regained the belt from Edge 3 weeks later at the Royal Rumble. Like, we were hating it. And because we were thinking it was short term for us. We were not as smart as we are now. We thought we were. We were quote unquote smart. Now we're actually smart. No offense, listeners who think we're stupid. We're not.
You're welcome.
And and we were just pissed off about it. But looking back, he made Edge, and Edge became a 10-time mm-hmm. world champion, and really was the world heavyweight championship. Like if you look at the modern era of the WWE, Edge is probably the greatest world heavyweight champion that they've ever had.
Yeah, he was. I remember when he retired, and when he went down. One of the things that we always said, he was always an easy go-to.
Right.
That could be trusted to carry that belt.
Taken for granted. Like, we took, as fans, we took Edge for granted.
Yep. And you have John Cena to thank for that.
We do have John Cena to thank for that. But I also think that the time off, with John Cena being away from the product from now to the Royal Rumble, is also necessary. And I think it's
absolutely
not a bad at all. I know Raw has essentially had the same ending for 3 weeks, but it hasn't been exactly the same. There have been little nuances with, especially this past week with what happened with the Big Show and Cody Rhodes, and they are really building some things out. And yes, Randy Orton still stands tall, but does anyone remember the NWO? Like, the early part of the NWO, when everybody loved the NWO. I mean, the IWC was probably 97% in support of the NWO, which is probably a higher percentage than anything else the IWC has ever supported. They went months where they stood tall at the end of the show. Months DDP, hit the diamond cutter on Scott Hall out of nowhere and turned down the opportunity to join the NWO. Like, that took months, and I mean months, legitimately. This has been 3 weeks, and it's just, people need to realize that the things that you love in retrospect were done just like this.
Oh, yeah,
and you're laying the groundwork. They almost hit a reset button with SummerSlam, with Sheamus and John Cena being out and putting the belt back on Randy Orton for the first time in a long time and pushing Daniel Bryan to the top of the card. It was a major overhaul in a 10-minute span for the company. So you do have to do some resetting of things and lay some groundwork. And in all honesty, when you're competing with Monday Night Football, this isn't a bad time to do it at all because you're already going to take it and things like that. So I think we are taking small steps week after week, and I think in the long run, the payoff is going to be more valuable when it does happen. Now, what you said earlier, I believe 100%. We're headed to pay-per-view time. I think this is the first week where Daniel Bryan, you know, finally cracks the egg a little bit and gets
absolutely.
And stands tall, whether he stands tall and Randy Orton's kind of in the aisle way, backing away because Daniel Bryan locked him in the yes lock, whatever it is. If you look back, someone tweeted this out. If you look back at 2012, Daniel Bryan has been pushed like crazy. Like he made Randy Orton tap out clean. He beat John Cena clean in the middle of the ring at SummerSlam. I mean, this was, you know, talk about making a star. Not only did John Cena establish Daniel Bryan, he established Daniel Bryan's new finisher and really shot him straight to the moon. So I just, you know, people complaining about that, whatever. Also, I mean, the Shield has totally changed. Patrick O'Dowd, like they have completely changed. They were raging against the system, and now they are the system.
Yeah, it's amazing how willingly people accepted that transition too. Like it just, you know, for all the griping that the IWC does, and we're just as guilty as anybody else when we talk about the IWC, you know, noble listener, we're talking about ourselves too. This is one of those things where people just sort of have gone along with, like, okay, yep. I mean, maybe it's because they're wearing the vest, the gear that looks like the flak jacket or whatever, that they look like security. So we're like, yep, that's what they're doing.
It kind of cracks me up, too, because in all honesty, the IWC should be complaining about the way the Shield is being using and should not be complaining about the Randy Orton heel turn that they begged for over a year to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We were begging for Randy Orton to turn heel for over a year, and the last thing we wanted was the Shield to become part of the establishment. Well, the Shield are part of the establishment. Randy Orton's now a heel. We got what we wanted, and we're complaining about it. We got what we didn't want, and we're fine with it.
Yeah, well, it's
crazy.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. And I think it fits into that phrase that you like to term a lot where you talk about playlist mentality when it comes to Randy Orton. People wanted Randy Orton to turn heel. They just wanted Randy Orton to turn heel their way. And I think that, you know, when I look at it, you know, you saw it coming. And I felt like it was the right time to do it and the right way to do it. Like, I really disagree with people who are like, I can't stand this Randy Orton heel turn. And I love it because he is a largely silent heel right now. Like, he really is just being the smug thug that's working for Triple H, you know, and I think that you're going to continue to see that pay off for a while. Cause I think he's got the belt for a bit. Like I think he's walking out of Night of Champions easily with the belt.
Here's the thing, right? The one thing that WWE is not going to do is they're not going to Chris Sabin the WWE championship right now. Like, they're not going to have this short little. Now, I take that back. If for some reason Daniel Bryan, like, it would be an okay part of the story if Daniel Bryan wins the belt at Night of Champions and then Triple H puts an impossible wall against him and he has to drop it the next night on Raw. That would fit in with the story that they're doing with Triple H. I don't think they're going to do that, but it would fit in if they did do that. I think it would be too soon to do that part of the story. I think you do that at, like, TLC and then have him win it back. Mm-hmm. Because that would further the story, in my opinion. And that's a way you can hotshot the belt around, still further the story, and not really diminish anything. It's just, you know, it's Night of Champions. I think people are kind of just – they're only looking at the build to Night of Champions. And that's something that we've been conditioned as wrestling fans to do. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're experiencing now is Triple H's kind of thumbprint on the WWE. We're used to the four-week build, the pay-per-view blow-off, go to the next thing. And this is not – like, Night of Champions is just the next step in a much bigger story might be going to Survivor Series, might be going to WrestleMania. I don't know.
I think this is, like I said at the top of the segment, I think this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. I think on some level, this story with Triple H is going to be through WrestleMania. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think it's still going to be going that far.
Because I think Vince is going to come back at some point, mm-hmm. and I think Vince is going to be the one that gives Cody Rhodes his job back and gets involved. But right now, the way they're telling the story, your WrestleMania match should be Daniel Bryan versus Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what they should build to, and Daniel Bryan should win and force Triple H to tap out to the Yes Lock. And look, Triple H tapped out to the crossface at WrestleMania 20, so it's not like Triple H wouldn't put over a smaller guy in his submission hold.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on the Triple H part, because that would be the other thought I had when I was thinking about Cena and how people get bad raps.
Right. And the thing I don't understand is that Triple H is establishing a brand new character right now. It's harder for wrestling fans to see it because he's just playing the character that everyone thought he was in real life. And so I guess it's easier for them. A lot of people don't feel like this needs to be established. But again, and I harp on this, and I apologize for harping on this, where are the 25% of the audience? Like, they're doing this for the casual fan who needs all of this to be established for them. The cans are sitting out there, and the WWE is telling them the story because they need to follow along. They need to buy it. We loved Daniel Bryan already for far different reasons. Most of the people in the audience that are saying yes never saw Daniel Bryan wrestle in Ring of Honor. So
you're absolutely right.
A far different reason than we do. We love Daniel Bryan because of what we saw in Ring of Honor and everything that we saw him turn heel, and we saw him against Mayor Fuji, and we saw the build of Morishima. I mean, all these things that we saw, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the battles with Nigel McGuinness. We have it there for Daniel Bryan. The casual fan has it because of, you know, hugging it out with Kane and chanting yes. So they need reason to really get behind Daniel Bryan. Yeah, I mean, that's what the casual fan thinks of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. Some of them may not even remember he was World Heavyweight Champion.
True. He did lose it quite quickly.
He did. Well, he held it till WrestleMania. He held it from December to April.
It was AJ's fault.
Yeah, and he lost in 18 seconds, though. You're right about that part. But we've got Battleground, Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series, TLC. County United Champions, we still have 5 more pay-per-views this year. This story is not going anywhere anytime soon. And quick before we kind of sew this story up, everyone's talking about Daniel Bryan in the Stone Cold Steve Austin role. And I would kind of offer up that he's more playing the Mick Foley role from when The Rock was the corporate champion and Foley was going against him. Where do you think Daniel Bryan kind of fits in that whole spectrum?
I really hate this question. And I thought about this when we started with the Steve Austin booking and all that, because I think that, yes, there are elements of both. I don't think it's either. I do think that it's a different sort of blend. I think that, you know, just like Austin and just like Mick Foley, that there is a real opportunity with a guy who is very atypical of the mold of what a wrestler is for the time. And that's what this is. At this time, Daniel Bryan's not the typical. To become like this mega huge fighter against the establishment as a face right now. And that's where they're going. And that's... you know, that's where the similarities end for me. I don't know that he's either one or the other or leaning one stronger than the other. I think that there's that connection between what they laid down in front, but that in the end, this is a different sort of attitude and a different way to take it. And I think that we're going to continue to see, like, he's not going to be driving beer trucks anywhere. He's not going to be, like, he's sort of got that lovable, like, pull for him, you know, underdog sort of role, which is what I think you're getting at with Mick. But at the same time, he's not Mick. He's not going to be doing the one taking the bump off the top of a cage or something like that. Because that was the other thing. Mick's a little crazy, and that's what made him dangerous.
True. Yeah, you're right in the sense that we shouldn't try to pigeonhole Daniel Bryan. I shouldn't try to pigeonhole Daniel Bryan into a role that was played before, because that's not fair to Daniel Bryan. He is really establishing his own original character that's never been done before. So you're 100% correct in that regard. So I'm on board.
Thanks, bro.
With your thinking. I'm on board. See, it's crazy. I am pimping you as much as you are pimping me. This is crazy. I don't even know what's happening.
Kind of on fire today. I don't know what's up.
I know.
Football season started. You know, everybody's amped. Everybody's really ready to go. Good times.
I know. It is.
Wrestling season's picked up. No, I say that as a joke, but Survivor Series, like, you know, everybody sort of points to the Rumble, but when we start looking, like, big four pay-per-views are coming up, like, November's not that far away.
No, you're right. You're,
and they're
you're
planning.
Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Ripping these hoes!
Greg.
I cut it short just because. Nice. Just because. So it is interview time. It is time to go to the guest for the interview. So you've got three choices. Patrick O'Dowd, same three you always have.
Let's hear about the brothers, Rick and Scott.
All right. Hear about some brothers, and we will be right back.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Fill up the sea. So bless you so bad, the night.
thing. Five women being promoted by one guy, and everybody seems to get along. Tara, it seems like you guys are just fine with each other.
Of course, we all have a common love, and that's Greg DeMarco. We all love Greg DeMarco. Yeah! Greg DeMarco.
You are not the fire.
Hey, this is Rain, and if I'm not kicking ass in the ring, I'm kicking ass in the gym. Or I'm listening to the Greg DeMarco show. Boom.
Greg DeMarco show.
Patrick Dowd, last week on the show, I actually had to explain to Chad Perry the show tradition of the phrase, we have achieved guest.
Amateur.
I know.
Amateur.
He didn't know. He hasn't been in that part of the program.
You know what?
And what?
He just got to listen. He should listen to the show. He should listen to the entire show every once in a while.
You have a vagina!
Somebody's
butt hurt. Respect your craft, Greg. Respect your craft.
You're okay. I'll take it. We are. I am not going to play negative sound bites towards you outside of that one, because this has been a Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Fowd love fest right now, and that we've had for the past 36 minutes. And absence made the heart grow fonder. That's what happened. Now I have to play this for myself.
You have a vagina.
There we go. I also have a vagina. We are, God. I'm gonna say that we are now bumping uglies on the Greg DeMarco show. That's what we are doing. And our younger listeners have no idea what the hell that even means. Patrick, go down. I just dated myself. Is what I did. I did right there. I need some masculinity.
Greg DeMarco
is a great lover.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
RJ City's on hold, and what the hell we're doing right now, and
what did he get himself into?
I think he knows that already based on our conversation.
What did I agree
off
to?
The air? What did I agree to with this? Ashley Six, why didn't you tell me these guys were like this? Oh, so, as the other tradition would have it, before we bring the guest on the air,
it's time!
We are very lucky to welcome to the program a very talented individual, not just in the world of professional wrestling, but some other worlds as well, as we will talk about, and that is Canadian independent star RJ City. RJ, welcome to the Greg DeMarco Show, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to listen to more generic sound bites of your name. I'm sorry. Did we start yet? Because I didn't realize the interview. I'm sorry. I was just, it excited me, and I enjoyed it. I wanted to hear that woman keep. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm doing well. I'm standing on the middle of Bloor Street West in Toronto. So there's a lot of homeless people around. So if I cut off and somebody starts talking about what kind of spaghetti Jesus likes, you'll know that a homeless person has taken my phone.
That's the best start ever.
Yep. This is right up there with Chris. This is good. By the way, that voice that you're loving is the voice of Buggy Nova, and everyone wants to hear that show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
She puts people to bed at night. That's what she does.
That's fantastic. Speaking of women, here, you know what? Here's if I may ask the first question.
Sure.
And flip the tables. Why am I not a DeMarquette? My bone structure is flawless. My teeth are better than any woman I've seen in your column. My hair is too. From behind, I look like Demi Moore on steroids.
He just put himself over Scarlett Bordeaux. Wow.
Yes. Are you out of your mind? I look like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. I don't think you understand what you're dealing with here. You know what I mean? I can walk out on the street and I can
do it like that, baby.
Oh, I only play that sound bite for
wonderful. Lovely. I'd like to officially announce my campaign to be the first male DeMarquette.
I can't wait to see the Twitter response to that one. You're probably going to get some support. And, you know, we are searching for a model for the official Greg DeMarco Show T-shirt. You're probably now in the running for that. So.
And for anyone who's, like, weird or, like, homophobic, like, this doesn't have to be a gay thing. Just because you appreciate my beauty doesn't mean, you know what I mean? I think every man has like one guy that they can at least say, there's a good looking man, you know, and that's it. And it's not a gay thing. So if anyone's homophobic, they can still write in and say, I like women, but RJ is a beautiful man.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. So,
yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, excellent. Well, that really cuts out half the questions I'm playing. No, not really. No.
I'm sorry.
Usually we make the DeMarket offer at the end of an interview. Now you've been already campaigning for it. No. Many of our listeners won't be familiar with you, and especially now we're like, who in the world is this guy, which is a good thing. So let's go backwards in time, RJ. Let's hop in the DeLorean and find out what caused you to even decide, at from what I understand, like 14 years old or 15 years old, to try to become a professional wrestler.
Oh, well, first of all, I don't remember not wanting to be a professional wrestler. It was always pretty much wrestling and the Muppet Show, and clearly Shelp, you know, wasn't the most realistic possibility. So compared to being a Muppet, I guess wrestling is pretty realistic. But yeah, and then I just went for it, and it's simple. I wish there was some horrible rags to riches story, but there's not. I just enjoying entertaining people and upsetting them at the same time. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that must make you a hell of a heel, I would imagine, if you do enjoy doing that. But wrestling's not all you do. You're also into acting. So what made you decide to become an actor at the same time?
It was just kind of the same thing. Obviously, I just love to perform and kind of want to have my hands on everything I can do. And then I was I went to theater school and high school and university and blah, blah, blah. And then I started wrestling. And then this beautiful, wonderful TV show called Splat-A-Lot fell out of the sky. And then away we went. And I figured if the television gods are speaking to me, I should probably listen.
So then I guess that sort of begs the question, which one is it? Do you want to be an actor or a wrestler more?
Well, I would rather be, I'd like to be an actor's wrestler and a wrestler's actor. If you look closely, you can see that they're very much similar. But while I can, mm-hmm. I like to do both. I haven't come to the crossroads yet, so I'll probably go with the one that gives me the most money. But yeah, so we'll see what happens.
That is always the way that I usually go. Where the money talks.
Yeah.
But so that sort of falls into this. You talked about how the two fit very well together, which I think anybody here would agree with. Do you think that wrestling makes you a better actor, or does acting make you a better wrestler?
I think both. With the acting, obviously, when I wrestle, I'm certainly more polished when I'm cutting promos. If anyone would like to check out my promos on YouTube, they're more than welcome to. I like to get pretty creative and just do something different when I wrestle. I don't know how many wrestlers come to the ring singing Ethel Merman. I believe I'm the first.
That's just so awesome in so many ways.
Yeah. And then acting-wise, I think wrestling has allowed me to get stuff done in one take and to fix mistakes if I make them and kind of think on my feet a lot better than I would have normally without wrestling.
I got to tell you, you're probably going to have to explain to a lot of people who Ethel Merman is.
Well, if I'm going to have to explain it to a lot of people, that means there's a lot of unknowledgeable people out there.
Hey, one of the greatest voices of any generation. I'm with
you. She was like the Babe Ruth of Broadway musicals. I think that's an apt description.
Yeah,
she was a wonderful
on the stage for a long, long time.
Yeah. So you know what? I'm not even going to tell them who they are. It's their responsibility to look up Ethel Merman. That's Merman.
It's a big internet.
Yeah, culture yourselves a little, listeners.
So. I'm sorry, I got a little Ethel Merman fanboy on you there.
That's okay.
A strain of the Mermania. It happens to
everybody.
Oh,
I'm unashamedly a theater fan. But going into fandom and, you know, working in two different sort of mediums that are both in entertainment, what would you say is the biggest difference between a wrestling fan and then, you know, a moviegoer or somebody who's seen you maybe on television or something?
A wrestling fan and like a wrestling fan is a little pop, perhaps a little more aggressive and a little more volatile and often forgets the boundaries that exist in society. Mainly if you smell, don't touch the other person. That would probably be like social rule number one. Like, whatever, if you smell, you smell, that's your problem. Don't give me the smell as a gift, you know? I don't want to turn around and sniff my shoulder and say, whose BO is this? What else? Other than that, I'd say they're pretty similar. Well, usually, you know, wrestling fans I always just see at wrestling shows. And when you're kind of on television, you really don't know who's watching the show. So they can kind of come out of anywhere, like, on, you know, on the plane or at the store. So I kind of get paranoid when I go out. If I'm ever like, I don't know, if I'm in the supermarket and I eat grapes and I don't pay for them, and they go, oh my God, that guy's on TV. That grape thief is on TV. so I, you know, I get paranoid like that. But no, the wrestling fans are, I can, well, let me put it like this. I can spot the wrestling fans from a mile away. They're the opposites. Always the black t-shirt with the angry red and white lettering. Always. There's no way to get around it at this point. You just know. You see that, and maybe a pair of black-on-black New Balance. It seems to be the shoe black du jour for the average wrestling fan. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, greasy hair and a ponytail, you know. Oh, sorry.
Yes, absolutely. But it's cool. A lot of people have saw me on TV and then kind of followed me on Twitter and then came out to the shows. So it's nice to bring in new fans who might not have been fans otherwise. So that's a pretty cool crossover.
Nice. So we talked about crossover, and you mentioned Splat a lot before. So who's Gildar? Tell everyone who Gildar is.
Who's Gildar? Gildar is the character I play on Splat a lot, and he's basically a buffoon Viking. I guess he would be like if Phil Hartman was a Viking. I guess that's the best way I can put it. He has a gold-plated chest. He wears a lot of eyeliner, and he likes to talk directly into the camera, which upsets everyone else greatly. And, of course, he likes to talk about how handsome he is. So you can see the range that I demonstrate when I act.
Nice. No, that is. Hopefully people have had a chance to do it. So Splat a Lot, of course, is the show that Gildar is on. And you're a defender. So kind of let everyone know what Splat a Lot even is and what a defender is.
Okay, well, Splat a Lot is like American Gladiators, or it's like Wipeout, but for kids. So there's this big, gigantic, foam, multicolored castle. And basically my job, me and the other defenders of the castle, is that we defend the crown, and we shoot things at kids and belittle them and insult them. And it's good to me because they're kids, but they're like 12 and 13. So even though they're kids, they're not too cute. I was an asshole when I was 13. And, you know, if somebody shot a paintball at me and told me what a horrible person I was, I think I would have been better today for it. So I like to consider it a character-building experience for these kids.
So how did this happen? Like, how did you end up on Splat a Lot?
Just kind of weird connections. And people I knew, they put a word out. They were kind of looking for someone who bizarrely looked exactly like me. I saw the concept drawings, and it's kind of creepy. And I got in the room, and I said, this idiot is the idiot. that we're looking for. So, yeah, it was literally just this happenstance, this wonderful gift from whoever does these gifts. I don't know if it's God, Buddha, whoever works there this week. I don't know.
Excellent. So you talked about the kids, and they're not, you know, your average kids. Has a contestant ever done something, athletic or otherwise, that just blew you away, that you were just like, what the hell did this kid just do?
You know, there was one kid that we swear to God was a ringer. There was no way he was 13. Like, no way. This kid was like the warlord of kids. He had like it wasn't even like a pubic mustache. There was no chocolate milk mustache. He had the big bully pubic mustache. And we were all like, well, like what? And he had that voice and he was just huge. He looked like he was 30. And he did round one in like 40 seconds and he just chumped everybody out. So we attempted to make allegations on performance enhancing drugs, but to no avail. And of course he ended up winning and rubbing in everyone's face. So
was he holding
a scepter?
I didn't
get to see his papers though. No, he was not holding a scepter, unfortunately. Yeah, that would be the one that was perhaps most upsetting. Oh, the best one was this girl who told me that her mom wants to sleep with me.
Nice. I mean,
which was great. And I just looked in the camera and like, you know, what else are you going to do? You give a little, you know, I gave the mother a little televised help. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, did that make air? Like, did they keep that in the show?
Yeah. There's a thing where I just openly hit on Tyler's mom. It was like one of the first couple episodes.
Wow.
Tyler's mom. And I just said, hello, Tyler's mom, and blah, 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 blah. And they did a nice thing where they put a kiss on the camera for me. But it's weird. The fans who watch, like, kids' shows are weird. They're either, like, the young girls and boys, like, you know, 12 and 10 and 8, or they're you know, they're mothers. And it's very, there's a huge, I feel like I have the broadest demographic. Like, I've cornered the Cougars demographic. I love
getting, you
know, yeah, I recognize at the gym and, oh, my daughter watches this show. Yeah, sure she does. Of course your daughter watches this
show. Well, and so you're talking about your demographic and your fans, and I got a small confession to make here. I was flipping through my Netflix queue, my Watch Instantly queue, and I came to movie number 298.
Yeah.
Out of the 400. Movie number 298 might be a movie called Monster Brawl.
Yeah, I heard number 299 is Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2.
It's actually not. It's the independent wrestling documentary Card Subject to Change.
Oh, really? At least we need that. Okay.
They're not exactly ranked. I went, oh my God, I got to see this movie. Click, and it ends up on the list. The thing that we noticed, though, as I started to put two and two together with this movie, and then, you know, going through the interview and the rundown and having you in there, is that your face seems to be on the movie poster more than once. Seems like it's on there twice.
Yeah,
what's going on there?
I pulled a hard Eddie Murphy, and I'm the werewolf. Of course, I'm the man first. And then I become the wolf, and then I'm also the mummy. But to be fair, the mummy is completely unrecognizable. And you'll have no idea it's me other than me telling you that. The werewolf, you can tell it's me. But, yeah, we did the Eddie Murphy. And, unfortunately, the two never cross paths. Maybe that'll happen in the sequel.
Monster Brawl 2, of course, which happened.
Yeah. Hey, don't doubt it.
I'm not.
In horror-esque movies, there's always a sequel. Always.
For RJ's benefit, I'm hoping it happens, because he gets to be in another movie.
Yeah. Yes, it's called Monster Brawl 2, The Bockwinkle from the Black Lagoon. Yeah,
I think RJ did a lot of research on this show. He dropped
Greg,
it to Marguerite.
He's earned my vote. For personnel to Marquette, because he has dropped Ethel Merman and Nick Bockwinkle in the same interview. Like, the power of these two forces that have collided all at once in the same interview is too much for my meager brain to handle at this point.
Bockwinkle is the king. Even now, you see him at now, and you go, man, I want to look like that when I'm old.
Dude,
I don't want to be a crappy Velcro sneaker old person. I want to be Nick Bockwinkle.
Hell yes. Oh, I'm so happy. I can't even talk. So back to the movie. And you said you played the Mummy and the Werewolf. Both of those, I mean, you mentioned that the Mummy had you wrapped up. Which one probably took the longest for you to spend time in the makeup chair getting ready for?
The Wolf took 3.5 hours.
Nice.
Every morning. And to be honest with you, the Mummy took an indeterminate amount of time because I flat out fell asleep while they were putting it on. The mummy was pretty bad because it was a full face prosthetic, and then I was wrapped and there was literally just a hole where I could pee, and then it was pretty bad. I almost had like some really close to having like anxiety attacks between takes because I wanted to rip the thing off me, and I just remember going to sleep at night and my face still feeling like I had the prosthetic on, which is terrifying.
Huh.
The Wolfman was cool. The Wolfman was layered mole hair. So all that hair is actual mole hair. I didn't know that moles donated their hair, and
wow.
I think it's very nice of them to do. But the thing was with that is it would take hours and pretty much days for it all to come off. So that was really irritating. But they did give me – I kept all the contact lenses from the movie, and the Wolfman ones are – awesome, and I just, you know, I have them and they fit, and I have one of the Wolfman arms, and I just want to find a girl at a bar and like total one night stand and get a hotel and lay her in the bed and say excuse me while I, you know, go into the bathroom, and then she just hears all this banging, and I, you know, I open the door, you see my one eye, and I go, the gypsy woman was right, and you see that arm, and then I just run out, and I'm so I'm dying to do it. So.
Oh, jeez. You're awesome, but a little scary at the same time. It's kind of great.
Thank you.
That's so good. So, yeah, you weren't the only wrestler though that worked on this movie. There were people like Kevin Nash, Jimmy Hart was there, Courtney Rush, even an MMA guy, MMA ref Herb Dean. Was there like a sort of a wrestling locker room atmosphere to the shooting of this film?
Well, a lot of us shot on different days. Like me and Courtney Rush never crossed paths. The Zombie is a Mexican wrestler, Rico Montana. We never crossed paths. But all at the after party. And actually me and Nash, and of course, Nash was there, and of course, Jimmy Hart, which was hilarious, and we all kind of had at least two overlapping days. But the guy who I was probably closest with was Robert Maillet, who wrestled as Kurgan, because he's Frankenstein, and I don't want to give it away, but we do battle at some point in the film, and he was great. He's like literally the nicest human being in the world. I cannot say enough good things about that guy, and I'm so happy that like. He's outrageously successful right now. And he can look back on the oddities and go, wow, okay. I'm very proud of myself now. But he's honestly just like an unbelievable guy. The other guy that was cool who does commentary on it is Dave Foley from
mm-hmm.
Kids in the Hall
at
News Radio. And I was like, oh, my God, like that's. This is cool. And like, what? It felt like a weird dream and Kevin Nash was there and Dave Foley was there. It's weird. You know, it's like every once in a while, especially with wrestling, it feels like my childhood comes back to just slap me in the face once in a while. These people I looked up to, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we had like a nice, had a like, you know, split a bottle of wine with Kevin Nash, you know, like, fantastic. And then you see him on the indies and he's like, hey, Monster Brawl, let's do a sequel.
So. Of course he is. He's all about making money. If he gets a paycheck from it, he will do the sequel.
All should be. Yeah.
You're right. You're 100% right. The funny thing about that last question was Patrick O'Dowd actually mentioned the word wrestling, which we haven't talked about for a while. So let's talk about some wrestling.
Okay.
You are probably someone more open to this phrase than most, and that's kind of the phrase of sports entertainment. And from your perspective,
I shun wrestling. I hate wrestling. I sit on wrestling. We're done. We're over. If I never see another Hammerlock for the rest of my life, I think I'm okay with it. Gotta be honest with you. I think it's time we just kind of wipe the slate clean, and we need to start again. It's my quest to put the entertainment back in sports entertainment.
Gotcha. If you don't use that in promo already, you should, because that would be good. So do you see a difference between wrestling and sports entertainment?
I see a difference between bad wrestling and sports entertainment. I think even if you want to go out and have the most scientific match in the world, it's really only decent if it does have an element of emotion and character and storytelling. I said if people really wanted to watch emotionless flipping, then the gymnastics would be on the USA Network every Monday night. You know, people clearly want to see a little bit of character and a little story. Yes, it's wrestling, but you want to see, you want to be engaged a little. You can't engage someone with a leg scissors. Not that I don't do a leg scissors, but when I do a leg scissors, it's the most emotional, character-driven leg scissors you've ever seen.
Nice. So safe to say you are a sports entertainer, is what you are.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yes.
Which and there's nothing wrong with that. Sports entertainers make a lot more money than wrestlers. So there's nothing wrong with that.
I would say so.
Whatsoever. Yeah. But you are a very talented wrestler / sports entertainer who is in the area you are, especially surrounded by a bunch of very talented wrestlers. Who do you most like to step in the ring with? Who do you have the best chemistry with inside the squared circle?
Oh, my. Me and Sean Spears had quite a few battles that we seem to enjoy. We seem to be put together a lot. I'd say we wrestled about 10 times. Every time it keeps kind of getting better and better, and we just have kind of a rhythm together, which is fun. Psycho Mike, Psycho Mike Rollins, who's ridiculous, and is probably the only person who can match my ridiculousness. Oddly enough, for the second time 2 days ago, I wrestled Rhino, and that was a lot of fun doing that again. That was very, very weird, and I'm not going to tell you how the hell I did it, but I managed to kick out of the gore.
Really?
And, yes. And if you don't believe me, you can ask, who is there? Arta Ocal. He does all the blogging and the wrestling. So, yeah, you can ask him. He will attest to it. I was gore-proof, only for the first one. The second one, of course, ruined my insides, and I haven't shit right for the past 3 days. but the first one I kicked out of.
Yes, Arta Ocal, of course, gets paid to do this while we all do it for free. So,
Well, that's because he's a sports entertainer. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I've been doing wrong for the past 3 years, Patrick O'Dowd.
Yeah.
I've not been a sports entertainer. Duly noted. But you are you talk about the entertainment aspect and everything else. Like, you're still taking bumps. You're still a pro wrestler going through things that pro wrestlers go through. What's the most hellacious bump that you've had to take that you were just like, dude, if I never do that again, it'll be too soon?
What is the most hellacious bump? Man, I honestly think it's on YouTube, and I'm very green. I was a Green Bay Packer at the time, and I wrestled a guy named, and you may know him, his name is Bloody Bill Scullion, and he is the absolute most hardcore human being that I've met, and I'm not a hardcore guy, don't like to get hit in the face for obvious reasons. the guy's so hardcore, I'm not joking, he starts the match bleeding. He has a safety pin in his head, and he pulls it out, and he just bleeds, and that's how he starts. I'm like, all right, great, fine. To make a long story short, his finishing move was the fire punch. Was where he took off his shirt, which was, again, one of those wrestling black shirts with the red and white lettering, wrapped it around his hand, put lighter fluid on his hand, lit the damn thing on fire, and punched me in the chest. And don't know why I did it, was not happy with it. It was not enjoyable. It could have singed off my eyebrows. But yeah, I took that, and it was just terrifying. And I will absolutely never do that again, I can guarantee you.
Fair enough. So, actually, you know, for those who don't know, you worked earlier today, if we're not correct, or unless we're mistaken. You worked for Fight Brand, which is a product that's pretty different from what a lot of us would say that we normally see in wrestling or sports entertainment, as you put it. What makes Fight Brand special for you?
Well, I make Fight Brand special for me, but the best way I can put it is Fight Brand is like Shotgun Saturday Night on crack. I think that's probably a fair assessment. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's downtown. It's seedy. Everybody's drunk and hot and sweaty, and there's no, I'm pretty sure they're breaking some sort of fire code because everyone's crammed in and there's nowhere to go, and they're obscenely volatile, and the matches are ridiculous, and they also have, it's a modern day like vaudeville show. There were stand-up comedians, there was two bands, and there was of course me, and sometimes they have burlesque dancers, and they did a cool concept today, which is really cool, where the fans vote for the match of the night at the end of the night, and then the winners get a nice little bonus. It's kind of like a UFC fight of the night kind of thing, which is interesting, and I haven't really seen it done in wrestling, so it was a cool thing to see.
And just to really quick put this out there, for those of you that might be trying to look this up right now, it's www.fightbrand.ca, not com, because we're looking at Canada, people. And there's a web show that comes along with this. What can we expect from you when we see Fight Brand's web shows?
We just taped one where I hijacked the web series, the beatdown. They have the web series, and I told the host to blow it out his ass, and that he doesn't belong on the same screen with me. And I think they're just gonna play highlights of my favorite, probably not even moves, probably just me smiling and winking to the camera. And I think that's gonna be good enough. But no, today's show, there was a stand-up comedian who was horrendous. He made Sinbad look like Lenny Bruce. That's all I'm going to say. And it came out, and I had to stop it, and I had to put an end to it. And then there's a big trucker fella by the name of John Greed, and we did battle. And I ended up putting the comedian in my finisher, which is a sleeper hold. So it was nice to put a comedian to sleep. I enjoyed that. So that's just a sample of the idiocy that you'll see at a fight show.
Gotcha. I feel like the Shotgun Saturday Night reference was I think Ashley Six also described the show in the same way. So obviously it's
I honestly think it was him like going on YouTube saying to himself, you know what I miss? I miss Shotgun Saturday Night. Do it again. I think that's really what the basis of Fight was.
Well,
so it's cool. I like it. It feels like I'm being thrown to the wolves. It feels like it's beyond the Thunderdome, and the Thunderdome is just filled with greasy fat people from Toronto. So it's a scene, I'm telling you.
So if greasy fat people show up for your cards in Toronto, who shows up for the Alpha One cards in Hamilton?
Oh, who's Crazy Fat People from Hamilton? or as they're also known, citizens of Hamilton. I've never seen one person from Hamilton with a decent complexion. I've got to be honest with you. Someone needs to open up a fucking Noxzema boutique in Hamilton, and they're going to make a killing. I'm sorry. To be honest with you, I didn't realize I had that much hate for Hamilton. Hamilton, first time I heard gunshots while getting changed for a show. Yeah, that was great.
Good stuff. Excellent, excellent. We're great friends with Ethan Page and Alpha One, so that'll make him happy.
Yeah. So. No, he did a fun. Yeah, I worked for Alpha One. I believe it was last month.
Mm-hmm.
In some wild four-way match. And of course, they appreciate wrestling because they're idiots. So they didn't have kind things to say to me, but we still did something decent that we enjoyed, and I cannot wait to go back there and irritate those people again.
Obviously, since you love the citizens of Hamilton so much. About 2 months ago, we had Ashley Six on the program, as you know, and I asked him to name a talent out there that we weren't watching but should be, and of course, he named you. So now it's your turn. Who is someone out there, whether it's in Canada, wherever, that we're not paying attention to, but we should be?
That is a good question. I gotta think about this one a little bit now. Who do I enjoy? I personally enjoy the lost art of tag team wrestling. So of people you haven't had on the show, I'd probably say the Flatliners, because they're usually, you know, those guys who are always a team and work together as a team and hang out as a team. I think they're fantastic. Hold on 1 second. I'm giving someone some change. Let me see. I literally have. Sorry. So, let's just recap. I'm talking here loudly. I've been talking here for a while. This guy came up to me and said, "Excuse me, I'm just 190 short of whatever I need, my tokens or whatever." So I reach into my pocket, and all I have is a pack of bubble mint gum. I have 5 cents. And then I have a $50 bill and a $20 bill. Well, there's no way he's getting the bills.
Right.
So it's down to the fucking gum or the 5 cents. And if you said, "Hey, do you have some gum?" I would have said, "Absolutely." But now he got this nickel, said, I just said, "This is all I have." And he just said, took it, and then says, "Fuck." What society are we living in? I didn't owe you anything, and now I want less from you. Now I want to take it back and take, I want your hat, I want your shoes. Now I'm angry at this guy. The one time I do an act of charity, pretty much just because I'm on the podcast, and I don't want people hearing me, you know, dismiss bums on a podcast. I literally, you know, my one act of charity, and I had to be cursed out by this bum. And it's a shame that they don't have name tags or identification, because I'd like the name of that gum.
You want to speak to a supervisor? Like what?
Yeah, exactly. There's got to be some sort of bum wrangler. Yeah. Oh, my God. Who else do I enjoy? I'm just trying to think. You know who I love? Dalton Castle. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He lives in Albany. He does a radio show out there, and he's known as the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle, and he works for he's doing all the wrestling is places, and he's doing IWC, where I just started working, and I think he's fantastic. He's a great wrestler, and he's also entertaining, so he's made it in my books.
Yeah, well, I can tell you made it in Patrick O'Dowd's book, because you hit the trifecta. You also went with the tag team wrestling.
Okay.
So
lost art right there, friend.
Yeah, like if you could bring up an Asian female, you'd hit the Grand Slam, and then you'd be done for Patrick O'Dowd.
An Asian female? I don't know. That's not, you know what? To be honest with you, I'm like, not joking. Like, one of my favorite matches is the Glamour Girls and the Jumping Bomb Angels. It's like,
oh, hell yeah.
So good, because the Jumping Bomb Angels is so awesome, and the Glamour Girls are so actively not awesome. That's the best. That is the best part, is how ugly. They both look like Betty Davis. And it's just like, this is awesome. So ugly. I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if I should spill the beans like this. This is a little insider dirt. I was romantically involved with a woman's wrestler. Did you guys know about this?
No. No, I did not.
I had in 1974, I had a weekend fling with Mildred Burke. in the, she had a place in the Poconos where we were both doing a show. And I, you know, I don't want to divulge too much, but all I'm going to say is she had a hell of a grip.
Oh, a Mildred Burke reference. I think that's the first Mildred Burke reference in the near 3 years of the old program.
We seriously, Ethel Merman, Nick Bockwinkel, and Mildred Burke? Like, wow.
And what's, you know what?
There's going to be one guy who gets all these references and thinks this is the greatest podcast he's ever heard.
This is about the greatest podcast I've ever done. What are you talking about?
We still have a long ways to go. Now with the interview, don't worry, we're not going to keep you too much longer. So, which is good. I thought you were going to name a DeMarquette, at which point it would have gotten wouldn't have gotten. We just wouldn't have.
No. Absolutely not. I'm a little, you know.
There is one you probably appear with on plenty of shows. So, which you actually probably saw tonight in Leah Von Dutch. So.
Oh yeah, shit. She is annoying. I just find her grating. She's like too like pretty and innocent looking. She's got like you could be an extra on like Seventh Heaven, like that kind of like pretty face. And it's just like we got it already. You know what I mean? Stop smiling and stop saying pleasure to meet you. Just like go sit in the car. You know? I'm sorry. I apologize. Nice people get on my nerves, as you can see.
I guess so. She is.
Yeah.
She's very nice. So let everybody know where can they see you. What do you got coming up in the coming months? Where are you booked to wrestle? Like, because I know people right now are listening and they're like, I want to see this guy sing Ethel Merman on the way to the ring and entertain me and evoke some emotion with his scissor kicks.
Yeah. Well, where am I going to be? Next week I'm at PWR. In Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm in a War Games cage match, which is really terrifying because I don't like games and I don't go to war. So it'll be very interesting. After that, I'm in Buffalo for ESW. Where else am I going to be? There's a Conflict Wrestling in Kitchener, IWC in Pittsburgh. I have to get my hands on Zima Ion because I have a longstanding grudge on people who claim to have appendicitis. I think it's a fake injury, to be honest with you. It's kind of like getting the measles or the mumps. Who the hell gets appendicitis anymore? Those are the places. And of course, you know, Alpha and Fight. And I just did a pilot for a show with Bret Hart and Roddy Piper. It's called Body Slam. You can look it up on YouTube. A couple other shows that I can't really talk about right now, but I'm sure I'll let everyone know about them. And, my Facebook is facebook.com/RJCity, and my Twitter is @RJCity1. That's the number one, as in the only man who came on this podcast and mentioned Ethel Merman, Nick Bockwinkel, and Mildred Burke.
And requested to be in the market, which
And, well, was... you know what? Let's let the people decide. And it's not even just look at the symmetry of my face. That's all I'm saying. Let's look at this scientifically and mathematically. Let's just get this over with. It would be an honor to be on the same page as Leah Von Dutch.
There's 14 of them too. We're not going to run down the whole list right now, but there is 14 of them too. So I've already tweeted. You'll see it later. But you easily campaigned to be in the top 5 list of our guests that we've ever had on this show, and we've had well over 100. So. That is quite entertaining. I appreciate
Fantastic.
The fact you came
I'm
on.
So
Spent so much time
thrilled.
With it.
I'm so thrilled to be compared with all the other indie wrestlers. Thank you for that. It means so much to me. God bless you all. Thank you for having me on the show.
No problem. Now, I do I want you to know, I'm going to – there's only one way that I believe we can play you off the program.
Gentlemen, Ethel Merman.
Is she singing? Is she going?
She's a really bad kid. But the clapping still. I promise you, at some point she took the seat.
I had a dream. A dream about you, baby. I had a dream. it's gonna come true. They think that we're through, but baby,
hold on to your seat.
We will let that play out. RJ,
with a tear in my eye, I have to sign off this podcast.
Yes, we appreciate you coming on. You were tons of fun. We would welcome you back anytime, and we hope to talk to you again soon. And best of luck, and hopefully things take off for you, because I see no reason why they shouldn't.
Well, that's very sweet of you, and I would love to come back. Not anytime. Let's give it at least 2 weeks, and then we'll talk.
Of course.
Sounds
good. Well, 2 weeks.
Easy, guys.
2 weeks.
Thank you.
No problem. 2 weeks of Scarlett Bordeaux on. I'd love to hear you argue with her about who is the 10.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm done.
Hey. Well, all right, take it easy.
Take it easy, guys.
Oh, goodness. Patrick O'Dowd.
Wow.
That is one for the ages, is what that is right there. I don't even know where to begin. I'm playing Ethel Merman on the radio show.
I still have Ethel Merman going here. Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah. It took so long for her to start singing that I'll lower it a little bit more.
Well, Ethel Merman,
and,
man. Like, you don't just start. You gotta soak in the entire applause of the adoring masses.
And that's what, like, she did. And that's, yep, that is.
How long did it take for
stuff.
You
but
to
you know,
an Ethel Merman clip?
Oh, it was fat. I think I did it before. You were asking about whether he wants to be a wrestler or an actor. And that's why I said, ask one more question. I was just trying to buy some more time as I was uploading the file. That's what I was doing. There really is only one good way to finish off Ethel Merman.
Would you shut the hell up?
Sorry, Ethel. But
oh,
Ethel,
they don't need to go down like that. Like that.
Shut up!
Oh, goodness. Patrick O'Dowd, I highly enjoyed that interview. That's all I can say. So, That's all. All I can say at all. That was good shit.
Yeah, I think we need to leave that be. Like, at this point, I think we've said what can be said.
No kidding. Like for a guy to come on the air and campaign to be a DeMarquette before we say anything, like, he just did his homework, and that's what really impressed me the most. Like, he's a pro, and that's, he's not just a fly by night. I came up with some cool stuff right away. Like, he's a true professional, and I think he's going to do very well in one of these two worlds.
He's clearly got the charisma. I like.
Oh yeah.
That is a likable human being right there.
Oh, yeah. And if you go to the Facebook, I mean, he definitely has the look that either world would be looking for. So, you know, whether it be professional wrestling or acting, like, he's going to be a success at some point in his life. And if he's not considering himself one already, I don't know what Splat-A-Lot pays, but I have a feeling it's just going to be a springboard, like most Nickelodeon shows probably are, just a springboard to other things. There are plenty of shows on networks like Nickelodeon and all those shows where there's, like, the tall, long-haired dude who's kind of a goofball, but, you know, is good looking and always gets whatever women. He could play that role on like 10 shows my kids watch right now. So he could have a long future ahead of him. His future's probably going to be outside of the world of wrestling, to be 100% honest with you. And there's nothing wrong with that, because less toll on the body is what that is. So, excellent. Leanne Marie tweeted you back, Patrick O'Dowd. She,
You think I don't know this?
Of course you know.
What are you talking about? My phone blew up.
That's true. That's true. Or as I, you know, look at Twitter on a computer. Crazy me for doing that.
Well, I mean, I do that too, but, you know, I always start with the phone. Gotta have it nearby. You never know when Chad Perry's gonna need to alert us to something about, you know, Total Divas.
Total Divas, of course. Yes.
Or, you know. For right now, everybody who updates me on Tony Romo, because I went to school with a guy.
Right. Did you actually know or meet Tony Romo when you were in school with
him? I did, yeah, actually. Like, I mean, it was 5 minutes of his life that he doesn't remember, but no, I've totally,
right.
It's true.
Yeah, I took a business class. I sat next to a Virginia Tech football player who did go on, Marcus Parker. He played a couple seasons in the NFL, nothing major, nothing memorable. But I will never forget when the instructor, about halfway through, he had a big game that weekend, and she points him out and wishes him luck, and he literally turns to me and says, "I just got to be in this class." And he never came back. I didn't see him again until the final.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. No, one of them, for us, we had one of I worked in residence halls back even then when I was an undergrad. I was the RA, the least liked person, you know, in a building. But our hall secretary, her family actually knew his family. Like, they were like old friends. And so that's how people got connected to Tony Romo in our building.
Yes, you were the RA. See, the thing about Patrick O'Dowd is Patrick O'Dowd is a big justice person. Like, he wants justice to be carried out appropriately.
I know. I am the shield for
Bar. And he wants people to own up to what they've done. Like there's nothing wrong. It's quite admirable, actually. And Andy Critchett would probably say it's adorable. But you kind of are the shield, actually.
Yeah, own your behavior.
Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta.
That's the great thing about being on a radio network who has other sound bites in the queue besides my own.
Find that stuff,
I was like, I wonder if they have it, and sure enough, they did. So yeah. So you were, whereas I was like, okay, fine, throw these 6 beer bottles away. I'm not going to write you up. Patrick O'Dowd would not have done that, nor should he have.
I mean, I wasn't like, oh, I'll look the other way, but it's not like if you ran into me, it was a done deal necessarily.
Right. Which is you know, fine. Which, you know, hey, we've all been there. I worked in housing and did the RA thing myself, as did the lovely and talented Mrs. DeMarco. So that's and we did not break the rule of sleeping in each other's room during the whole time that we were RAs, believe it or not. Because, you know, we just lived upstairs and downstairs from each other. So we could do what we wanted to do with
that rule.
What's that?
Nothing. I mean, I never broke any rules ever.
It's not. No, not in the least. So, wonderful. Well, we are about to kick things off with the Night of Champions preview. Let's take a break, Patrick O'Dowd. Get some water, smoke them if you want to, which neither of us do, and then we will have some fun, which means it's decision time for you yet again.
As the lawsuit that continues to seem to develop around this particular song took another turn this past week, I think we need to continue to listen to Bad Street as long as possible before somebody from the Freebird sues us.
I know. I'm just kind of waiting for that to happen, and it hasn't yet. So I'm happy.
So we're going to play it till we're in court.
Here you go. We'll be right back.
This is Speaking Nitro, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show. And if you don't listen to it, I'll kick your butt, and you will respect me.
Oh, man.
in my heart. They don't just say what magic could make it there and I'll block. But I know today hearing that evidence got a leg. I'm gonna try to tell you those boys I met in 2020. So don't come close. On the side now. Go to where these birds live and everything's going down. If you don't know by now, before we get our way, that's the way it is down here on Bad Street, USA. Yeah.
Bad Street, Atlanta, GM. Yeah. Bad Street in the whole USA. Bad Street, sexy and hot.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and ugh, that's not, that came off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, this is, ugh. Third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so hot!
See, I'm gonna get off the phone, I'm gonna think of something so much better.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Get down, get down. 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 Get down, get down.
We are back on the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd, still recovering from our interview with RJ City. But Patrick O'Dowd, this weekend is, of course, first of all, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm glad I didn't take your bet because there's no way we're getting to your topic.
Bam, win.
You knew.
I knew. Second, you gave it the kiss of death.
I did. Second, I was like, we got plenty of time. We didn't have plenty of time.
Eli Manning is a good quarterback. Like
no, it's way too early in the season for that. It's not the playoffs yet. Eli Manning is what you want is you want to have someone quarterback your you want Peyton Manning to quarterback your team in the regular season, and then you want Eli to take over
the
playoffs. That's what you want. That's exactly what you want.
Together they make one perfect Manning.
Exactly, and they sing Football on Your Phone and all of its gloriousness, because I do enjoy the Football on Your Phone commercial. So, we're going to talk some thankfully, they've only announced five matches for Night of Champions, so we can actually get through the entire preview, which will be a plus. So, but we are talking about WWE Night of Champions. It's going to be Patrick O'Dowd and myself. We'll talk about the matches, make some selections on who we think is going to win, and, well, that's pretty much all the components of a preview. So, it's going to be a new tradition. I've done this a couple of times, and I do it. From now on, every single pay-per-view preview, the first match we talk about will be the World Heavyweight Championship, just due to their propensity to put that match on first. So, and the fact that I don't think it's a bad thing at all, because it's a mere secondary championship at this point anyway.
So we
will start there. Of course, the World Heavyweight Championship is on the line as champion Alberto Del Rio does defend against Rob Van Dam, accompanied by Ricardo Rodriguez and all of the awkwardness that goes along with that. Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts on the match, and of course, your winner.
My thoughts on the actually, you know, it's funny when this, but I remember when Rob Van Dam came back and everybody was like, oh, he's treading water. I wonder what we're going to do with him. And right around that time, he beat Alberto Del Rio in a match. And I remember thinking, oh, that's going to be the next feud for the World Heavyweight Championship. And here we are working this match. So while I didn't necessarily call it on the air, it was definitely something that I felt made a lot of sense. And that you kind of got to have Rob Van Dam do something significant, but you don't want him to, you know, do like he did in TNA where he won the world title in like 30 seconds. I think this match is going to be better than people expect it to be. Because again, a lot of people don't give Alberto Del Rio the credit that he deserves as a worker. I'm going to actually say that I think this is the first time that the title is actually up for grabs in this feud. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
So I actually don't see Alberto Del Rio losing this match. I think that Del Rio will find a way to go over, and that I think we're going to be shooting Rob Van Dam and Alberto Del Rio again for the world title down the road. and probably a month from now, where RVD then finally wins it. Rob hasn't really had a significant loss yet. This seems to be about the right time to have it.
Wow, so you actually see Rob Van Dam holding that belt at some point in the future.
At some point, but I don't see it happening yet.
No, that's good. That would show a lot of trust on the WWE's part, just because of given his history last time they put a world title on him, too, for that matter, what happened there. But that was a long time ago. Very, very long time ago. I also see Alberto Del Rio coming in with the victory. I think this match is not getting the credit it deserves, kind of like Alberto Del Rio in the ring, like you said. Some people feel like there's not a reason or purpose, which is completely wrong. The whole story is there. You just may not like it. For me, kind of the key here is Ricardo Rodriguez. Why is he with Rob Van Dam, other than his issues with Alberto Del Rio? Now, he's had issues with Alberto Del Rio before and has been mistreated by Alberto Del Rio, and he always comes crawling back. And I think he's going to turn on Rob Van Dam in this match. I'm not the only person to predict this, by the way. Plenty of people out there that are saying that. And I do believe that Alberto Del Rio will retain for that reason, and which, you know, could lend itself to a future Hell in the Cell match, which is, you know, because we can't have the Cell because people need to bleed. So that would be 2 months from now if Rob Van Dam were to win it in Hell in the Cell. But who knows? But I do agree with you. The feud can continue. But I do think Alberto Del Rio is going to win, and I think Ricardo Rodriguez is going to turn heel again and rejoin the side of Alberto Del Rio, because he works well with Alberto Del Rio. Those two just seem to be naturally, they're like peanut butter and jelly. Patrick O'Dowd, they just go
lamb
together.
And tuna fish.
Lamb and tuna fish.
Exactly. Sorry, I dropped movie references on you. I got the wrong guy. Can we bring RJ City back?
He would probably appreciate that one.
You would probably get it in a second.
He probably would, and he would probably love you for it. So, excellent. So, we've both got Alberto Del Rio. Hopefully, we're not headed down this road for the entire preview, but we'll see. The next match, of course, is the United States Championship match between Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, where Ambrose is defending that championship against a guy who was at one point our favorite son and one that we followed around. Now we no longer do. Your thoughts on this one, Patrick Dowd, of course, who walks away with the gold?
You know, again, I don't see this title changing hands. I don't know what a Dolph Ziggler victory does for either wrestler at this point. And I think with where they've gone with the Shield, right now being a part of a major power play with Triple H, you don't have him lose to Dolph Ziggler. I think, again, it's too early in the game for that. And so this is another match I think is going to be quite good. Both of these guys are very capable in the ring. Dolph Ziggler makes anyone he wrestles look like $1 million. And, you know, we've talked about him being a bump machine. But Dean Ambrose does a pretty good job of bumping as well. And so I think you're going to see a really strong 10-minute match where Dean Ambrose, I think, retains and keeps the belt. Because, again, too early. And these guys are supposed to, he's part of a power play right now, and he's going to hold that belt.
Yeah, I agree with you on the too early bit. I don't even know if it's too early in the sense that this is a feud that will continue. I think they'll be intertwined if we do lead towards Survivor Series, or if maybe we even do something with the group interaction at Battleground. I don't really know what Battleground is about yet. It's just a pay-per-view name that we've seen. So we'll see what happens with that one. I do have a feeling it'll be kind of the corporate entity versus the outcast, whatever. That'll definitely be part of the story there. So I do see Dean Ambrose walking away with the championship. It's going to be entertaining as hell. You know that Dolph Ziggler is going to be out to quote-unquote steal the show, because he doesn't feel as though he's being used properly. And while I don't think his complaints that we're seeing right now are legitimate in the sense that he's going off script and saying them, I think what he's saying in a lot of interviews is all part of the story. Doesn't mean he doesn't believe it, and doesn't mean that he doesn't, you know, really think it's true that he should be pushed harder than he is. People think he's going to get punished for those. I don't think you're going to get punished for saying something they told you to say. But I do think Dean Ambrose is going to win this match. I don't know if it'll come from involvement from the Shield or just Ambrose cheating on his own, or even the clean victory. Who knows? But it should be entertaining. I'll jump to one of our additional questions that we have for this. Will this match occupy the kickoff show, Patrick O'Dowd?
I wish we could answer this question tomorrow after Raw.
Right.
Because right now, with the number of matches on the card, the answer is no. I would say by the end of Raw tomorrow, the answer is yes. Because I think that, you know, matches will be created. And that seems to be where the quote-unquote secondary title lives now. It either lives on the pre-show with the Intercontinental title, or it lives on the pre-show with the United States Championship. So I want to say yes. And assume that more matches, at least two, are going to show up tomorrow after Night of Champions is all said and done and set up.
Yeah, I kind of see this as being the pre-show match too. I'm going to write about this week for the Wrestling 5-1. I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, people, and I've had Twitter conversations back and forth where people are like, it belongs on the main card. You've got to look at it how the WWE looks at it. It is part of the main card. Like, the kickoff show is a very important match to the company. And if they trust you with their kickoff show, they are trusting you with something that they feel is very important. Because, again, that's to get more callers and to get more people.
That's to create a buy rate. More, like,
exactly. That's
I can't imagine, like, I get what people are saying, like, that there's somehow, and this is I think something that fans get programmed to believe as well, Greg. When you start looking at the forest or you're not looking at the forest for looking at the trees, they're just looking at that one little bit of, like, this is somehow some slight against the two people that are working this match. That they're still getting the payday. They're still getting, and in fact, it's like you said, like, they're part of this because they feel that these are the matches that are gonna put butts in the couch to then watch the damn pay per view.
Right. They're part of that.
Pay their hard-earned $50.
Exactly. They're part of that last second push to get people to order the pay-per-view. And I, you know, and along, you know, same lines as the opening match, I have this hierarchy that I feel where matches kind of fall into place in terms of how the WWE views their importance. And this match is probably way higher than anyone else would think it would be. And I'll flesh that out in the column this week and talk about that. But I do think this hits the pre-show. I don't think there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. So, next up, we do have the Divas Championship, where AJ Lee dropped her quote-unquote own little pipe bomb a few weeks ago, and then setting up the match with Brie Bella, Natalya, and Naomi. So it's AJ Lee versus members of the Total Divas cast. So the show will never go away, Patrick O'Dowd. They found a way to make us talk about it because they booked them in a match, which we all should have seen coming from a mile away, and didn't. Of course, your thoughts on the match, and if you think AJ Lee is going to walk out the victor, and if not, who does?
I guess I gotta go back on the comment. Are you genuinely surprised that the show got brought into the Divas Championship? Okay, because I was like, this is wrestling. Like, eventually, it all comes back. It's just the way everything the WWE promotes when they tie into outside the entertainment company. It has something like that pop up. Anyhow, I don't care about this match. I'm sorry. Like, and I know, you know, 2 weeks ago people were talking about AJ Lee's, you know, promo. Pipe. It was lovely. It was a very good promo. I did like it. I liked that it sort of created a little charge. I've just come to the point with the Divas where, you know, I know what it is, and it's not what I'm interested in professional wrestling. And in sports entertainment, it's just not, because I am a dinosaur when it comes to, like, what I want to see out of women's wrestling. And that's something more akin to what you'd see in Shine or Shimmer, where there's a little less, you know, there's a lot of glamour and a lot of wrestling, but there's still an emphasis on the wrestling. And we just don't have that. So saying that, I think this has everything working against AJ. She just dropped the big bombshell though. So I think she's going to retain. I think it's going to come down to her and probably Natalya, though. You know, the Bellas are the hottest and considered to be the top of the division right now. I don't know that they'll do that heel dynamic necessarily at the end of the match, but I see AJ going over. I think Natalya eats the pin.
Yeah, well, at least we get to disagree. That's a good thing.
There you
we
go.
Haven't done that just yet. Because of the involvement of the show, and I don't buy for a second, the producer of the show who came out and said that AJ turned down the opportunity to be on the show, I don't buy it, because that's money in AJ's pocket.
Yep.
You get paid separately for doing that show, and I don't see her saying no to that. I believe all the stuff she said about scratching and crawling her way in and sleeping in the car and all that stuff, she was an indie wrestler, so of course she
yep.
did all the things. But I don't believe for a second that she didn't want to be part of the show. I think them saying she turned it down plays into the role she will eventually play on the show as the show kind of moves on in the future. Because the show has done very well, and the show is not going anywhere.
Nope.
They will get at least 2 seasons out of this thing, if not more. And good for them. You know, it's people being successful and making money, and far be it from us to want anything else for them. I'm just not going to watch it. But for that reason, I think as it ties into the show itself, I do think that one of the Total Divas is going to walk away the Divas Champion. And the problem that I have is I find myself wanting to say Natalya, and I'm like, well, am I just wanting to say that because she's a better wrestler than the other two options? I don't know. Brie has held the belt, and Naomi is kind of one that people think could really do well in the ring in the long run. So just for the heck of it, I'm going to go with Naomi. I'm going to give Naomi the nod, so to speak, and I think that Naomi is going to walk away the Divas Champion just for the sake of the program. And then I don't know what happens if AJ stays involved long-term with it, if she goes another direction. Weird little side note is that this weekend, Big E Langston worked as a face at the house show, and he came out, whereas Damian Sandow was cutting a promo that was like, no one can touch me, no one can beat me, and that pseudo-challenge, because he didn't really answer the challenge, was answered by Big E Langston, who then went over and got cheers from the crowd and everything, and I think AJ is sort of in that edge dynamic where she's so good at what she does, and I'm not talking about the promo, I'm just talking about her character in general, that when a heel is that good at being a heel, sometimes people just end up having to cheer for them. And I
yep.
think that's what could happen to AJ, and maybe by default could also happen to Big E Langston. I don't know, but I'm just kind of thinking outside the box and see. But I think that's a ways down the road regardless. For this match, I am picking Naomi to walk away the Divas Champion and earn her first Divas Championship reign. So, which brings us to the fourth of our 5 matches announced for the card, and that is the non-title handicap elimination match. And you can address if it bothers you that the title is on the line or not, where CM Punk is facing the Intercontinental Champion in Curtis Axel, and of course, CM Punk's former best friend, the man who still loves CM Punk, Paul Heyman.
I you're going to have to help me here, because I didn't do, is the Intercontinental Championship on the line?
No.
The belt is not up.
Nope.
Then Punk can win.
Right.
It is really what that comes down to. I think Punk wins this match. Like, that's that. I think without the belt there for them to have to play the chicken shit runaway heel aspect, that, you know, it's going to be a lot of Curtis Axel running interference, protecting Paul Heyman. Before we get a tease. And that's the thing is, he's going to eliminate, it's an elimination match. Actually, you know what? I'm going to have to rethink of this. I don't know which way they'll go, because it's a money feud where, like, it's clearly going to have legs after this. Paul's gotten away.
Mm-hmm.
I've really gone chalk on a lot of these other predictions. With sort of the champion having the upper hand, it seems like this would be a good point for Punk to win, which is probably why he won't. But I see a lot of teases of him almost getting his hands on Paul Heyman, and Curtis Axel getting in the way before Punk finally does get rid of Axel. Axel's forced away from the ring. Something else happens that allows Paul to get the pin over CM Punk, like a Brock Lesnar appearance or something of the like.
See, it's funny, too, because I was going with Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman the entire time. Like, I had already typed out my pick after you typed out your CM Punk, which I will change. Because I do agree with you. Like, I think the feud is going to go on. The one thing where I differ, I think he does get his hands on Paul Heyman. I think he goes nuts on Paul Heyman and literally beats the crap out of Paul Heyman and becomes so preoccupied with it that some form of interference or something by Curtis Axel coming back out does cause him to lose. I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to appear, or maybe he does appear, because I know he's not wrestling another match until WrestleMania. I don't know how many appearances he has until WrestleMania. I just don't know if they bring him out just for that and nothing else. Or maybe they just play his music, you know, the old school, play the music, and then that opens the door for Axel to attack and Heyman to get the pin. Who
could also be another chance for a Paul Heyman person to appear.
Oh, that's true. He has already said there's another one.
Yeah, that was teased a while ago. So, I mean, maybe that could be another way to where it distracts Punk, keeps him from getting the victory. He may beat the snot out of Paul Heyman. I just, when you play the cowardly element, it's one of the best things, and you know, the most satisfying part is when he finally does. I don't think he beats the hell out of him. I think he comes close, but he doesn't quite get there.
Yeah, I think
that's the caramel center to the candy right there. I'm like, and that's what you're working towards. So you want that to be as satisfying as possible.
No, you're 100% right in that regard. But I think CM Punk literally said, order this pay-per-view, and I promise I'm going to get my hands on Paul Heyman. I think he was going to break his face off. I don't remember the exact words that he used. I think he gets his hands on him. But obviously the feud still continues. And you know what? Maybe this feud could be, you know, being used to elevate Curtis Axel in the long run. And maybe we don't like that, but you know, that's just it's kind of the way it is. If they see something in Curtis Axel, then you know that they're going to push him. And if CM Punk is the kind of guy who can now elevate other people, he can do what John Cena has done, as you pointed out earlier, and could elevate a guy like Curtis Axel. So that's why I'm going with Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman, and I think this feud continues. This is the fall for the WWE. Feuds continue for a lot longer. And again, we complain about it, even though it's a thing we ask for in the spring when things are sprung upon us at the last second for WrestleMania. So that's just what the people do. Which brings us to the main event, Patrick O'Dowd, the central storyline for the entire company, and of course the match that legitimately this is the reason why people are going to purchase or not purchase the pay-per-view. And that is, of course, your corporate WWE champion, Randy Orton, defending that championship belt against your man of the people, Daniel Bryan. So your thoughts on the match, and of course, who walks away the victor?
I'll start with the prediction, because I don't know that this is any surprise to anyone anywhere. And I'm going chalk with the champions, which really surprises me that I'm doing this way. But I don't see, again, with where we are, I don't see Randy Orton losing the belt. I don't. I see him retaining his championship. And maybe he doesn't win. Maybe he loses via DQ. But I'm going to go ahead and say that Orton wins the match. I think it would do better for Daniel Bryan's character if he were to lose via disqualification or something like that, or some sort of circumstance where Randy Orton doesn't necessarily beat him. But I just don't know that I see it happening that way. I think the match itself is going to be good. I think it's going to be very good. I think that Randy Orton is another one of those people that falls victim to, at least in the internet wrestling community, falls victim to this belief that he's some terrible worker that can't hold his own in a match. And it's just not true. Is he Ricky Steamboat reincarnated? No. But he's still a really solid worker, really strong, and he has shown such improvement from where he started to where he is now. And then you pair him with someone like Daniel Bryan, who is versatile, and has proven that he can work with guys that are much larger than him. He can work with guys who are much less skilled than him. I think that, is it going to be an all-time clinic? No. Is it going to be a pretty damn good match? Absolutely. But unfortunately, I don't see Daniel Bryan walking away with the title. I see him somehow losing the match. Because as much as I think a disqualification would, look good or whatever, I don't think that's going to be it.
No, I agree with you. I think the disqualification works better on a Raw type of a match. My fear, and I am picking Randy Orton to win the match as well. I can't imagine Daniel Bryan walking away with a victory. It'd be way too soon, even if they moved it back over on Raw, which I think could be a fine part of the story, just not now. Orton just won the damn thing. We've been building up Orton and Triple H for the longest time. I actually see it more of him going over. I do think there'll be shenanigans unless there's some stipulation that prevents those shenanigans this Monday on Raw. Even if so, Triple H is obviously going to be above any stipulation. My fear is I really hope this isn't the kind of scenario where Daniel Bryan wins and they find ways to restart the match, even if they do it more than once, which would make me a very, very sad person watching this pay-per-view. But that would be another element to the Triple H character if they were to do that, and would not shock me in the least bit. Either way, when this match is over, Randy Orton is the victor and is walking away still your WWE champion. And, so honestly, I know you're talking about going chalk. The only belt I have changing hands is the Divas Championship. So
yeah,
it's not have any major title changes taking place, which could mean we get a title change that's too soon from one of these other matches, like losing to Van Damme and then winning it back in another one, or even Ziggler picking up the United States Championship. And then I think he would lose it back on Raw the next day as well, thanks to some Triple H involvement. But in the end, I hope for their sake that they don't sacrifice the stories they're telling now just to put more title changes on their Night of Champions card. It's Night of Champions. It's not Night of Champions losing. So they don't have to lose their belts at Night of Champions. And I think there have been other Night of Champions where there haven't been a ton of title changes anyway.
There's been pay-per-views where not a lot of titles have changed hands. It's okay.
I remember when the SummerSlam I went to in Phoenix, I walked out thinking, man, I didn't see any title changes. And it's SummerSlam. Yeah. And it was okay. So,
it happens.
No problem with it whatsoever. So that pretty much sums up the card. We only have 5 matches currently announced. Now, Mark Henry and The Big Show was kind of penciled in a lot of people's minds as challenging The Shield for the Tag Team Championships. And we now know that Mark Henry has been cleared to wrestle and can return to the ring. So do you think that match will be back on come the end of Raw on Monday, Patrick O'Dowd?
Maybe, and it's a big maybe just because of where they've gone with The Big Show now. To me, it makes absolutely no sense to torment The Big Show and then reward him with the opportunity to get his hands on The Shield. So I don't know that that's going to happen. It might. Maybe Mark Henry becomes the first guy to sort of stand up to Triple H and help Daniel Bryan in some way, and they do a sort of you made your bed sort of deal. But I doubt it. I mean, when Mark Henry went down, yes, they were saying we're coming after those tag titles. But again, it just doesn't, in my head and in my brain, it doesn't reconcile for now, like at this point.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Now, it is weird in that sense, and it wouldn't shock me if they go a completely different direction. I hope they don't blow the primetime players getting their shot without any real build. Because I think that does deserve more of a build before they go and do something like that. So, But I do think a tag title match is added, purely because we've got five matches on the card, one of them to be on the pre-show. So right now we only have four matches on the pay-per-view. And that's not going to happen. I don't want the Divas title match going for 45 minutes. It's not even an elimination match. Then they could change that. But I don't think they want to. Because
so have two elimination matches on one show.
Exactly. Wow. Well, and the handicap elimination match for me is solely set up just so CM Punk can try to get his hands on Paul Heyman, which is kind of what his threat to Brad Maddox did in creating that match. By the way, if you're listening, you're about to get cut off, and you might have already been cut off, so this announcement doesn't matter, but especially now because I know you're cut off because it even cut off here in the studio. So we're in bonus time anyway. Any other matches you see being added to the card, Patrick O'Dowd? Because it feels like obviously something has to be added.
Yeah, I think that maybe something happens. You mentioned tag team competition. I think that the momentum that's being developed for the primetime players, maybe they end up somewhere somehow working a match, maybe not for the titles. Maybe they're just working against 3MB as a filler of some sort or something like that. But the Real Americans are a good option too. Damian Sandow's not doing anything. He needs to lose again because apparently that's what you do with your Money in the Bank holder. By the way, I'm done letting that one marinate. About 2 weeks ago, I was like, let it marinate. You lost on a house show to Big E Langston. You're done. You're done.
Faces do tend to win on house shows.
But the ridiculousness of this, and this is a different rant for a different day, I'm sure. But you got to win something. There's no credibility for this guy at this point. In my opinion, with his previous, he can't beat anybody. He can't win on main event against freaking, I can't even remember who he lost to. But he lost to R-Truth.
Yes, he did.
He lost to R-Truth. It's I get that you, R-Truth is a face, he's a good wrestler or whatever-ish. But Damian Sandow can't beat R-Truth? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and the sad is I could see a Sandow promo that leads to an R-Truth coming out at Night of Champions. I could see them doing that same exact thing there. Icons versus Fandango, as they've kind of had their...
Yeah, they've got the men.
It breaks Fandango's nose, which I don't know if it's too soon to bring out the face mask, but that would be perfect for Fandango if they brought out the face mask.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't that long ago.
They bring it on SmackDown, so.
Yeah, no, it's true. So it's probably too late at this point, but I could easily see those two going at it on the pay-per-view as well. And you just never know who the Ryback's not doing anything.
He's too busy bullying people backstage.
Well, and he's kind of being used as a stooge as well, and maybe that can develop some more. I do sort of feel like they're going to add someone else to the mix just to even out the numbers as they kind of build towards Survivor Series, although Triple H could still wrestle in a Survivor Series type of match as well.
Okay.
I'm not saying on Night of Champions. No, no, no.
Greg, that's a little too much of a home run swing.
No,
even
you don't
for
need
you.
Really, Triple H wrestling at Night of Champions? No way. Last time he put himself over CM Punk. We don't need that again. So that's kind of where we're sitting. So obviously something will be added. We'll probably know more tomorrow on Raw, throughout the week on WWE.com, and of course after the SmackDown tapings. So that pretty much sums it up. Patrick O'Dowd, that does it for our preview of Night of Champions. Of course, next week we will be on the air an hour later at 11 p.m. Eastern Time as we do our reaction show for WWE Night of Champions. No guest. Again, I'm sticking to my guns of not making that mistake. We will not have a post-pay-per-view show guest. We will just react to the pay-per-view and have that discussion next week. So that does it. That's your pay-per-view preview officially on The Greg DeMarco Show, which of course brings us to...
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Patrick O'Dowd.
So let's give three cheers to amateur wrestling as we now have wrestling back in the Olympics. That made the news this weekend. We'll be showing back up in the summer in what was not really that close of a vote as they stomped, I think it was baseball and squash by
yes,
over
they
20 squashed. Play. They squashed,
squashed
squash. But, you know, as someone, you know, I never wrestled in high school or anything like that. But, you know, that is the foundation of the entertainment that we do take away here, even if professional wrestling was always, you know, a little bit of a con. It gets its roots from there. And so it is really good. I do think, it was terrific to see a lot of the support come from former amateur wrestlers that now work in the WWE or TNA. You know, obviously Kurt Angle was the biggest voice that a lot of people heard, but there were plenty of others that were involved in that as well, who, you know, really did a lot to help make that happen. And so good on wrestling and good on the Olympics.
Yes, I'm equally happy. I did wrestle for 4 years in high school. I was not like the state champion. I was lucky enough to make the state tournament, but did not win a medal in the state tournament. But it was one of the original sports. It wasn't the first. It was like the second or third Olympic sport, and it's crazy for it to not be part of the Olympics. They eliminated two weight classes. They added some to the women's division, which is all fine and well. Weight classes, whatever. I could care less. I'm just glad it's there. And hopefully this whole tease about wrestling needs to be eliminated. Look, I remember when the U.S. Olympic baseball team won the gold medal and it was a huge deal. I would eliminate baseball far quicker than I would eliminate wrestling from the Olympics. It's just one of those things you associate with the Olympics. I don't really associate baseball or obviously squash with the Olympics. So I'm happy it's back. And good on them, like you said, for doing it, because it should have never gone away to begin with.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Thoughts and happy thoughts actually go out to a good friend of the program, Australian Nikki Nitro. Found herself in the hospital last week and had to have some emergency surgery. Has been released from the hospital and is doing well. Don't know how long it'll be before she returns to the ring. Don't even really know the full details of her surgery, but she had some surgery, and she is recovering. She's out of the hospital. She's doing okay. I don't know how much we know about the Australian medical system. I do know that her hospital room was like the hallway, according to some of her tweets. But she is well. She is out, and should continue to do well. And hopefully can get back into the ring and do what she does, Patrick O'Dowd, because, as we know, she's very passionate about that. She had a trip to the States earlier in the year, did very well, and hopefully she continues to do well and improve.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
And with that, Patrick O'Dowd, it is time to go.
All right, I'm out, dude. Deuces.
You are out. And Tony Azzero coming right up here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
Nobody really knows this, but
Tony Azzero,
the softest lip. And sometimes at night we spoon.
Tony Azzero.
I got to be right now, cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya.
Anthony, it's just me and you. Just me and you.
Let's do this.
You and Heather Lynn are like alternating schedules right now. It's just kind of how things are going.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So you did miss her. You played Ethel Merman earlier in the show. That's where we went this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show, solely because our guest apparently sings Ethel Merman on the way to the ring. So that, yes. You should go back and listen to the RJ City interview. Quite the good time that we had with RJ City. New friend of the program. He will.
Awesome.
He will be back. He said although he's too high level to come back to the show, he needs to wait at least 2 weeks before he returns to the program. So
at least.
Yes, which would put him on the call-in show with Scarlett Bordeaux, which is okay because Tony RJ City immediately campaigned to become the first male DeMarquette as soon as he was on the air.
I like his style.
He feels as though he's prettier than all of the female DeMarquettes. Oh, and he is also an actor and does have the standard actor headshot and is a very pretty man. I don't have any issue saying that, but I don't believe he's going to become a DeMarquette anytime soon. Nor is he going to win the Who is Going to Model the Great DeMarco Show t-shirt, although he put his name in the running for that as well.
I like this guy.
Yes, we all like this guy. And then he sends me an email with, "I hope that interview was okay." it was more than okay. We'll talk about
right
that later.
That's fine.
It really does. It fits right in. It beats the. Last week we had two interviews. One I honestly felt was kind of boring. One I felt was not boring at all and highly entertaining. So I won't name names. I'll say that Michael Berry was very entertaining that last week. And if you go back and listen to last week's show and see who I didn't find entertaining. But I'm not one to name names.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Yeah, you.
I am one to name names. The other guest was Antonio Thomas. Go and listen to it. It just wasn't as much fun. What can I say? I'm self-aware. I can be self-critical. I don't care. So, Tony, it's Night of Champions week this week as we have our kind of a push for WWE Night of Champions. It will take place next weekend. We only have 5 matches announced for the card too, and you know one of them is going to be stuck on the kickoff show. So right now we have 4 announced matches. So obviously some shit's got to be added to the card.
Yeah. They're teasing Ziggler and Ambrose. I'm sure they're going to put the ladies in between the main event and, you know, probably
right.
CM Punk.
Yeah, probably so. Ziggler and Ambrose, of course, will take place. We don't know if it'll be on the kickoff. I think it's going to be on the kickoff show, Ziggler and Ambrose. And I think the Divas 4-Way could end up right between the CM Punk elimination match and Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan. So, and with the Divas match, you've got AJ Lee taking on the Total Divas and Brie Bella, Natalya, and Naomi. And we know that they plan on merging this together with the show to be a later portion of the season to kind of air in some of the later programs. Do you think they're going to put the belt on one of the cast members of Total Divas?
I really do. And I'm not – I'm really upset. Well, I can't be upset because it hasn't happened yet. But it just seems to be leaning that way. And, you know, what AJ did, that was supposed to be a heel tactic, the pipe bomb promo that everyone's calling, which I never said, by the way. I don't give it that much, you know. But it was good. I liked it. You know, we've had this talk. But anyways, yeah, I see her losing it because that was a heel tactic. That was supposed to make you get behind the other girls, which means if you
work.
Losing the belt, you're supposed to be okay. But the thing is, obviously it didn't work. So this match, nobody knows who the fuck to cheer for. And I think their plans to get rid of it somehow without AJ, you know, losing. It's just, they're selling a TV show. And I can't say that they're diminishing the belt because it's the Divas title.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
You can't really devalue something that didn't... You can't devalue something that didn't have value to begin with.
Right, it's one big match full of apathy. And you know the only reason I care is because AJ's going to be there.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I agree with you in the sense that I do think AJ's going to lose the belt. And it wouldn't surprise me if what you said is the way they do it, in the sense that she's not even involved in the fall, because that would even garner more back-and-forth bickering for the program if, like, say, Naomi were to pin Natalya. And next thing you know, now we got more stuff for them to argue about. Because I picked, when Patrick and Dad and I were doing our picks, I picked Naomi. She hasn't held the belt before, and I could just see her doing it. So I went with Naomi to walk away the champion. But you could be right in the sense that who she beats, who she gets the fall over, could actually be kind of the bigger part of the story, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, I agree with you. Agree with you on that one, in the sense of what's going to happen. Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam, and you've been able to see and even recap their interactions, especially on Raw. a lot of people seem to be hating on this match, and I'm not 100% sold that it's all that bad of a match. Where are you on the RVD versus ADR match?
I'm excited about the Battle of Acronyms. But I'm excited about any time Del Rio's in a match. It's just a matter of the story. Like, I mean, for the last, I'd say, maybe almost a year, maybe even more, the World Heavyweight title just doesn't have good storylines behind it. So in a sense, these matches have been made for, I want to say, like, wrestling purists, or at the very least the IWC. You know, Christian, even Dolph to an extent. Like, these matches, you're watching not because you care about the wrestlers as characters, but you're watching because you care about the wrestlers as wrestlers. Of course, they don't mention that. They don't say it, but that's really all that you have to hold on to. RVD, when he was in WWE the first time, I thought that he was nothing but just a spot guy. He was the originator of the Five Moves of Doom in my eyes. And I remember talking about it, how everybody thought I was stupid and I was an idiot and I must not know what wrestling is. I still see it. I still see a monkey flip and a rolling thunder and a five-star, and that's it. However, since he's come back, he's been a little bit more rejuvenated, and he could put together a match. And when you're with Alberto Del Rio, I think that he's pretty solid as well. So if you don't care about these guys, at the very least, you're going to get a good match.
Yeah, and you know, they might, you might be onto something, is if they were to use the World Heavyweight Championship as more of the wrestling title, and maybe not, because I feel as though it's a secondary championship at this point, and I would love for it to be back at the level where it's not a secondary championship. I would be fine with it being the wrestling title, the WWE championship being more of the storyline. There's always going to be a storyline, but the WWE championship being more of that storyline-driven belt as it is right now. But we're on the same page, and Patrick Dowd was as well. The you know, Alberto Del Rio is highly underrated, at least according to the IWC. Very talented wrestler. In the ring, I think his face turn hurt him in the long run, at least in my eyes, because people just couldn't buy him as a face, and he's just a more natural heel. The weird thing about this match is Ricardo Rodriguez walking around with Rob Van Dam. You think he's going to continue to try to get back at Alberto Del Rio, or do you think he's eventually going to turn back and once again be linked to Alberto Del Rio?
I think it could go either way and no one would care. I don't think that he fits with RVD, but then again, who really does fit with him? And
true.
I mean, Alberto Del Rio, if he wants to become bigger, then he might. I mean, really, we all know that more often than not, it was Ricardo Rodriguez that got the pop than Del Rio that did the wrestling, which is interesting. The fans really, really like him. So I think if it is a screw job, then it wouldn't surprise me, because it's Del Rio's character, and we've seen Rodriguez get hurt before by Del Rio and still be by his side. However, if he does turn, then that just means that we're going to get more RVD versus Del Rio, which also wouldn't surprise me, because who else do they have right now?
You're right. Who else do they have? And, of course, this is the fall. The fall is when the WWE drags these storylines out and gets multiple pay-per-view encounters out of them, and I even shared earlier with Patrick O'Dowd that if Ricardo costs RVD his title shot, then, you know, we've got Battleground, then Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell would be a great place for RVD to kind of blow off with Alberto, because then Ricardo can't get involved. And Patrick O'Dowd went so far as to say he thinks RVD is going to eventually win the belt from Alberto Del Rio, not at Night of Champions, but win the belt, which surprised me, because I hadn't even considered Rob Van Dam as getting a World Heavyweight Championship run. Could you see Rob Van Dam winning that belt at some point, given his history with the company?
I could, mainly because they brought him back for a reason, and he agreed to it for a reason. Obviously, it's the bigger stage. Obviously, it's the WWE versus that other place. So there's legit reasons to come back. However, I think RVD's got a little bit of an ego, and I think that one of the ways to whet that appetite is to give him the title. So I think it's been in the plans. They just needed to get there somehow.
Yeah, I think it's more one of those things that we can be pleasantly surprised by, because I never even considered it until Patrick O'Dowd brought it up. So I'm completely okay with it, and would be fine with Rob Van Dam holding the belt, because he's over. He's way over, and there's really nothing wrong with them going that direction in my opinion. So we might as well kind of finish this thing off a little bit. CM Punk is facing Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman. Title not on the line. Does it matter to you the title's not on the line?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, technically. It's the Night of Champions, so it should be on the line. But the CM Punk character would be like, this isn't about a title. This is a fight. This isn't about, you know, the belt. And which, you know, would be funny is if Punk did that, I bet you it wouldn't knock the title down at all. Like anybody else would say it, and it would somehow diminish the title. But, so yeah, it's weird. But, I mean, I believe they've had a Night of Champions match without a title on the line. It's, I don't know what it is. I just think that they've done it before. So, you can check the record books. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure they have.
Yeah, so
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I'm pretty sure they have. I just forgot what it is. I'm pretty sure. Anyways, it's not a big deal. It's them messing with their own gimmick, and we can complain about it and say how they're going back on what they created and whatnot. But I mean, why waste our time? It's a CM Punk match. It should be all right. I mean, it should be good. It should be really good. Curtis Axel is so hit or miss. Sometimes he's really good, and I have hope for the guy. And other times he just looks like Anchorman with muscles.
That's so true. That's actually really funny. Yeah, it's weird because the whole purpose of this match is the elimination match to where CM Punk eliminates Curtis Axel. Then he gets to be one-on-one with Paul Heyman. He's promised to break his face if we order the pay-per-view. I think it gets to that point. I actually think Paul Heyman is going to pin CM Punk by the end of the match. whether it's Brock Lesnar's music that distracts Punk and lets Axel attack somehow, whether we see some kind of an alliance between the Heyman group and Triple H, and maybe the Shield gets involved. I don't know, but I see something happening to A, continue this feud, and B, let Paul Heyman get the last laugh here. Long term, of course, CM Punk's going to get the last laugh, but on this instance, I do think that Paul Heyman's going to get it, and this way we can continue the feud long term and let this one play out, because we've got, you know, after Night of Champions, there's still four more pay-per-views in 2012 that the company's got to do. So I think they're going to get some mileage out of these feuds as best as they can. And why not continue to merge everything into the top storyline in the company with Triple H and Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, which, of course, is the main event. Any doubt in your mind that Randy Orton's going to retain the belt?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, there's kind of touching on what you said. In fact, just kind of rolling everything in there, I vaguely mentioned it in the 5-1 that this is one of those storylines that could really make quite a few superstars rather than just one. And whether they're doing that intentionally or not, which they are, but whether they are or not, it seems to be working. A lot of people are complaining about Brian losing every week for 7 weeks in a row, how it was different back then and how the Attitude Era was different and whatever. I do want to remind people that we have a lot more wrestling now than we did even then, you know, including an extra hour on Raw. But not only that, we had someone that was writing that had ADD. Right now, I mean, yeah, it sucks seeing him lose, but you're not supposed to be happy. That,
right.
You know, you're not supposed to be happy. You're a viewer who's, you're supposed to take this as one of the worst treatments of a wrestler ever. As a fan, not as a member of the IWC, but as a wrestling fan, you're supposed to feel as sorry as shit. You know, I've mentioned before that my little brother is a fan of Big Show. And although I was complaining, and I did complain, I still do complain about Big Show's reaction and how it was a wrestling match that he didn't want to do, something he's done over and over again. I watched my little brother, who's 12, try to justify every single move that the Big Show made and didn't make. Like, he was sitting there talking, he does this with movies, but he was doing, like, talking to me as well as the Big Show, like, you have to do it, Big Show, you have to do it, you have to save your job. You know, like, so to him, Ironclad didn't mean shit, you know, none of that
right.
meant anything. They got him, they had him, hook, line, and sinker. The boy was saying punch Brian, you know, like he was on board. So anyways, I guess what that leads to is the fact that just this storyline, it's not going to end here. It's not going to end at Night of Champions. Brian isn't going to win the belt. It's not going to be that crowning moment that everybody wants, and I think that's perfectly okay, because we're not supposed to be happy fans right now.
Of course
not. There's a reason for that.
No, it'd be way too soon for this to end. And that's we're conditioned to see the four-week storyline. Like, we're conditioned to see stuff build to a pay-per-view. And even if there's a rematch, like you look at John Cena versus Ryback, it's still kind of rebuilt. Like we don't go into Raw on Monday knowing that this is going to continue. They could easily go into a different direction if they wanted to. This is going through at least the end of the year. Yeah, I was telling Patrick that earlier. The way the story is being told right now, and it may change if Vince McMahon gets reinvolved later down the road, because we haven't seen Vince McMahon since after SummerSlam. You know, this should be building to, if they kept down the same exact path, which they probably won't, Daniel Bryan should face Triple H at WrestleMania. Like, that's where this should go. And he should win, obviously, and make him tap out. You know, because that's a really, he's not really feuding with Randy Orton. He's kind of feuding with Triple H. And that's, you know, again, like we talked about before, that's the story they're building. They're building the new Mr. McMahon in Triple H. And you think back to the NWO, back when the NWO was formed, they got the upper hand and left the faces lying face down in spray paint for not for weeks, but for months. It was months before Diamond Dallas Page finally got one over on the NWO, and no one complained about it. Maybe it's because we were all younger. Maybe it's because the IWC was infinitesimal compared to what it is now. I don't know, but no one, you know, there was not the backlash that we have now against the current storyline. Which, by the way, we all begged for Randy Orton to turn heel for like a year. And now that he did, we all hate it. I guess so. And you know what's really funny is that the Shield was all about raging against the machine for so long, and now the Shield is part of the machine, and no one seems to care. And you would think the IWC should be happy about the Randy Orton heel turn and pissed that the Shield is now doing corporate work.
Yeah, and I would like to point out that I actually did complain about it.
Good.
It was, I believe, 2 weeks ago where I mentioned that it didn't make much sense to me. In particular, it was during the recap because, like, it was only months ago where they were heavily, heavily feuding with Randy Orton, and I thought, why the sudden change? And, of course, someone justified it with them at the end of the day being interested in money, and money was their driving force, and blah, it wasn't really justice that they were fighting for. And, I mean, maybe that was explained a bit when Paul Heyman was revealed to be the guy that hired him. But at the same time, they've always had one consistency, and that consistency was fighting against the old guard. And basically, Randy Orton is considered the old guard to them. Which is another thought that's weird to think, but true.
Right. Orton been there for like 10 years. It's, you know, people don't realize. He main evented WrestleMania 25. We're coming up on 30. You know, and that wasn't his first time being high up on the card. But you're right in the sense that it kind of goes against what the Shield has been doing. It's funny, too, because they still talk about the Shield being the Hounds of Justice, even though that's more of just kind of like a slogan now and a catchphrase, because it sounds cool. And, you know, we're all about what sounds cool and marketing, and that's what it should be. Because at the end of the day, this is a business. They're just trying to make money and sell pay-per-views. And I think people are accepting of it because the Shield, they just look like, you know, three former versions of the Big Boss Men who are all in shape. That's what the Shield looks like to a lot of people. And so just because they wear the flak jackets and the cargo pants, people are more readily able to accept them as in the role that they're playing as sort of security and enforcers because they look the part. But they haven't played the part up until this point, and I just think more people, if you want to complain, that's what you should be complaining about. And yet we're complaining that Randy Orton is you know, being developed as an amazing heel. And what I love is the fact that they don't really show this real connection between Orton and Triple H. Like, it almost seems like a fake connection, like Triple H handpicked Orton and Orton's just kind of going along with it. Like, you don't ever envision them hanging out outside of when they're in the ring together. Like, they don't really, you know, relationship, which is great for me because I'm still begging for the day that Orton just RKOs Triple H out of nowhere, just because that's what Randy Orton does. Like, he's not sort of like, you know, when he's kind of basically said, you know, I've had my fun with this, and then goes in, and I don't think it's a face turn. I just think that's Orton's way of showing that he's Orton, and he's not a puppet. That's just not what Randy Orton is. He's not a corporate puppet. I almost feel like he's just manipulating and taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
So, do they need a stipulation for the main event at Night of Champions for it to even be believable? Like, do we need something to favor Daniel Bryan, or does it even matter at this point? We know he's going to lose anyway.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they need it, but, I mean, it would help to quell the fire that's burning inside of all fans everywhere. But then again, it might just be too late. I mean, Bryan's got so many things stacked against him, similar to a other, you know, worker versus boss storyline, where it feels like there's no hope. And, you know, I think that they're barely scratching that surface. We've got a lot of people that are in Triple H's back pocket that we see coming up, like Ryback and The Shield, and, you know, these. So they all might start, you know, Big Show even, you know, the reluctant corporate puppet, I guess. So I don't know if they need a stipulation because they have everything in their back pocket already.
Right.
Including a referee / general manager who can very well just go down there. They may piss some people off, but.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it kind of does seem to be, you know, and maybe he's named the referee at the last minute or something like that. Who knows what they end up doing, so to speak, in this match. But they'll do something. It's the WWE. They kind of have to do something. So, in turn, you know, before Night of Champions, we have Tomorrow's Raw. And one of the big things we know about Tomorrow's Raw is that Goldust is returning. And they've booked Goldust versus Randy Orton. If Goldust wins and Cody Rhodes apologizes, Cody Rhodes gets his job back. So where do you see this going?
Dude, I didn't even see Goldust coming. But I guess it's a big opportunity for the dude. He's been clamoring for a return to face Cody. So I guess it's a little bit ironic that when he finally does return, he's fighting for Cody. I don't know what the hell to expect. I'm excited. It seems really cool.
Yeah.
I hope by all accounts, he's still in shape. He's still been wrestling and whatnot, just minimally. I don't think he's going to win. I don't see it happening at all. And I don't think that they're going to go so deep as to bring in Dusty or have Cody, you know, maybe have Cody, like, come through and then Goldust get a win over. But that's not – I just don't see it happening. It's really interesting that they add, not only does he have to win, but Cody also has to apologize. Because that could mean that Goldust could win, and Cody could just be like, well, I'm not apologizing, period. You know, because he's got his pride and whatnot. Which would be interesting, but I just don't see how they could possibly make Goldust, a performer that isn't on the roster, win over the biggest champion the company has.
Yeah, I think they will. And I think because this is the go-home show for the pay-per-view. And, you know, typical WWE booking tells us that Daniel Bryan probably needs to get the upper hand on Randy Orton somehow. And I think it's by causing him to lose to Goldust is what's
really
going to happen. I think Bryan caused to lose.
I don't believe it's going to happen at all. I completely disagree with you. However, if it did, I don't know, man. I think that might be exciting.
All right, like Daniel Bryan causes Randy Orton to lose to Goldust, and what you said, where Cody Rhodes says I'm not apologizing, I think that would be the perfect way to go, because Cody can come back as a mega face when all this is said and done, and get the push that you know I've been pining for a long time, and I think, and not only that, but you know it could be a year too late, but if they finally do pull the trigger on the Cody versus Goldust match at a WrestleMania, what a way to set it up where Cody comes back and he's the, you know he doesn't appreciate what his brother did for him. His brother won the match.
Right.
All Cody had to do was apologize. And how ungrateful can you be, Cody, but to not apologize and wash your brother's efforts down the toilet, which is exactly what should happen. Cody Rhodes should not apologize in any way.
Right.
And it tells the story of Daniel Bryan getting the upper hand. Like, I think Raw ends with Randy Orton walking backwards up the aisle with the Randy Orton shocked look on his face, Daniel Bryan going, yes, 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 and that's kind of how we sell the pay-per-view. This is kind of my prediction. See, that's what they would – see, there you go. I would say hire us, but they could think of that without me. They don't need me for that, as much
they
as I
could.
Would love to think they do. So – hey, they could benefit. You know, I've been telling TNA to hire us for years. That's obviously not going to happen with the things I've said and written about TNA. But
And the fact that I sometimes can't even say the right acronym for their wrestling organization.
Well, they're TNA. They don't know what they're doing. And we don't know what they're doing either. So that's the great thing there. Funny story that popped up on the internet. First of all, the site, I've never heard of this wrestling site before, but it's got a very good name. Yeah, you can have .us as sort of the version of .com and whatever. The site is called itsreal2.us is the name of the site. So here I am promoting this random site, right? And they have the Dropkick Depression image that I made sitting on their website linked to it. So somehow they have some kind of connection there. I don't know. But their top news story right now is that the WWE is going to call up Sami Zayn and Cassius Ohno to form a faction with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And they're basing this on the fact that Sami Zayn wrestled house shows this weekend for the WWE, which happened to be the Canadian house show loop, and he happens to be Canadian and was apparently way over. And they're saying that the heat on Ohno is conveniently from Triple H. And by the way, they didn't capitalize the word triple in this news bite. And coupled with Zayn's amazing efforts, with Zayn Swagger, they are surely prepping him for a call up, and the recent house show appearances, and now they're came by the two former Indie Darlings. So they're claiming that Cassius Ohno wrestled on the house shows, which he did not. And so the feud is going to be Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Sami Zayn, and Cassius Ohno versus the Triple H administration. Apparently, conveniently forgetting about guys like Dolph Ziggler, Cody Rhodes, and The Miz, and The Big Show, who have already been tied into this as well.
Is this one of those eFed sites?
This is the most bogus news report. And, of course, they weren't in a way that is. Rumors have been circulating that. I checked the rumor sites after I saw this, and I didn't see this rumor anywhere. Like, where are these rumors circulating?
Is this an extension of the short-lived Onion? Is this what that is?
I wasn't going to bring the Onion up, but you would, because I'm a bad, bad person, apparently, because of what happened.
You're a dick.
I'm a dick.
And I'm a dick for defending you.
You're a dick for defending me. Did you defend me? Did you?
Yeah, of course I did.
That's what I love. I love that. Yeah. That's I should be defended in that. I am totally in the right for what I did and how I felt.
At the end of the day, the final word was it's his column. So your choice. I mean, really.
Right.
You know, even though it's, I mean, at this point it's as much mine as it is yours. But still, whenever I don't want to decide something, I just say, I don't know, man. You got to ask Greg. I mean.
Isn't it nice to have me there to be that parent? It's Greg's call. Oh, you don't like it? That was Greg's thing.
Drew's like, I don't like the teaser. Oh, you know what? Greg, he just sent it to me. Like, I just copy and pasted, man. I don't.
Did he do that?
No. I'm just saying. He's
that would be awesome.
I'm really bad at teasers anyways. I literally copy last week's and then fill in the new stuff, and that's it.
I think the first time I ever wrote a column, I didn't even put the teaser in for a while. I guess they. I don't know. Maybe they do it. Maybe only some of us
they
even write
it. You
a,
know, if it's Jeremy, he'll do it. The dude's too nice for his own fucking good. Like,
true.
He's just man. Like, I feel like he says bless you, knowing that I sneezed 2 hours ago. Like, he's just the nicest guy ever. It's sickening.
It really is. I felt bad the other day. He posted a video where indie wrestler Adam Page was talking about a movie role he got, a movie that Maria Kanellis is also involved in. And Jeremy posted up there, and he's like, video from ROH star Adam Cole about his upcoming movie. And I'm like, that's not Adam Cole. And so I actually said,
I want to tell
him. So I sent him a message on Facebook. I'm like, dude, that's not Adam Cole. That's Adam Page. And he's like, "Duh!" He felt all bad. He went and fixed it. And one reader did drop a comment about it, too. So I felt bad. But
yeah.
I'll be honest with you. If Larry fucked up, I wouldn't feel bad for Larry.
Right.
But if Jeremy does, I feel bad for Jeremy. And it's just that's just the God's truth. I'm sorry. I apologize for being honest, but that is the truth. I don't find happiness in Larry screwing up, but I don't get sad about it either.
So let me tell you about, last week I was yet again in Vegas, so I missed the show, and I apologize to any listeners that were clamoring for my voice. Before that, I went to an Apex Pro show, and I eliminated a wrestler from a battle royal. That was pretty cool. Yesterday I went to a concert called Rock the Bells, and it really got the hip-hop bug stirring again. So ooh. I'm looking for a format that I like that is not too long because, you know, the low-end theory was very long, and looking to see how I can fit it into my schedule for the inevitable and eventual return.
Now, would you still term it the low-end theory, or would you come out the box with something completely new and different?
I think I'd keep it the low-end theory. When people talk to me about it, they consider it the low-end theory, and right. I really like the name and giving the homage to A Tribe Called Quest. But, there are going to be changes. The column was huge. I mean, I had five different sections, and I had, like, over 5,000 to 7,000 words a week. And, I mean, that's 5-1 territory.
Right.
The column shouldn't be that long.
No, it really shouldn't. Like you said, that's 5-1 territory, and the readership is way different between those two. And,
way different.
You know, you're looking for work versus return. I pulled it up right now. Like last week's 5-1 was 3,000 words before you added your parts to it. So that's
good Lord, man.
we put in a lot of work. We do.
We're
going to find the soundbite. Hang on a minute. I gotta do some scrolling and make sure that I find the appropriate soundbite for the people.
You're welcome.
There you go. Just like the graphic at the end of the column. So that's what we do. So it's good though. It's good because my only weekly exposure to hip hop was your column. So I need my culture back, Tony.
Yeah, Eminem is making his return, and I'm thinking I'm going to center it around that. So
you should. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than Eminem returning. I will say this, Tony. You're not appearing last week caused Heather to completely go off on her wrestling analysis, and really, I was impressed. I'm not going to lie. Like, she impressed me. She was acting as though she had something to prove. I think she does feel like she has something to prove because she even – popped it out on Facebook. She was like, listen to me in a few minutes, prove that I'm more than just a girl. And she did. She did a great job. I was thoroughly impressed. She got cut off by the Blog Talk Radio. They cut us short last week. And apparently other shows, too. Like, literally, there were like two or three other shows that all got cut off at the same time. So obviously BTR was having some issues. As when I signed in today, they had a little pop-up window that said, everything is running fine. Send us a support ticket if you find an issue. So obviously that's their way of saying that they had problems. But a support ticket?
Right.
Like, what is a support ticket going to do me during a live show?
Anybody got time for that?
Like
no,
you're going to respond to the support ticket tomorrow, and the support ticket is going to go to somebody else's email address anyway. So, yeah, I got nothing. For your support ticket is nothing to me.
You have a vagina!
Did well.
Still my favorite soundbite ever.
I know.
Good.
I love it.
I like Heather. I really do. She makes me laugh. But I'm glad she got time to speak. We tend to talk over each other, and that's probably my biggest and only complaint about Heather.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because she's what Patrick and I used to do 2 years ago, and I used to always complain to him about with the interrupting and the talking over and that sort of thing. So it takes time to develop that. They can't all be naturally talented like you are, Tony. It's just not possible.
I know. Dude, I eliminated a wrestler from a battle royal. My wrestling career is at its high right now.
Yes, yeah, it is. That's why.
Nobody really knows this, but
Tony Passero.
It's the softest lip. And sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Yeah, rumor has it. Hold on, let me enjoy the moment with AJ real quick. Okay, anyways, rumor has it that Davey Jones, the wrestler that I eliminated, is not done with me.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I should do some push-ups or something. Learn how to arm drag. I don't know. I just
The video that I was sent of you eliminating said wrestler from the Battle Royal was accompanied with the text of, we're going to have to teach Tony how to bump. Like, they want you to they want to span this over into something else, Tony. They do.
It was funny because when I pulled him down, he went head first, so I kind of cradled the neck, and the owner of Apex was like, "Oh, look, you're already protecting the workers." Like, it was natural.
Well, you've got little younger siblings, so obviously you've probably wrestled around with them and understand. Like my son and I play football in the living room every day. It's what we do. We have this, you know, he wants to play football all the time, and I'm tackling him. And he even commented today. He was like, "I love the fact that you hold me before I hit the floor." Like, he even, you know, my 7-year-old is pointing out that I keep him from getting hurt. So it's just natural. If you've ever had any siblings or kids or anything like that, you know how to do that, and you don't want the person to hit their head. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it is a natural reaction just to prevent any actual injury to, you know, if we choke slam our kids, we're going to cradle the back before the child falls. And, you
which
know,
is really,
so it's just,
I don't know if we're making, you know, because people will tell you that you take years upon years of training, and we're like, no, you're naturally going to protect the person.
Yeah,
so
we're
pissing off all the wrestlers that listen to the show.
Whenever I choke slam my brother, I'm for sure taken care of.
That's right. That's right. By the way, to all the wrestlers who listen to the show, and plenty of them do, we appreciate you listening, and we know the training you have to go through, and we're glad that you do, because it takes more than just knowing how to cradle somebody's neck and keep them safe to be a professional wrestler. We know that. Don't email me or tweet me.
Don't get upset.
Don't get upset just because.
Believe me, my single elimination is nothing compared to any one of your guys' bumps or tosses or anything. There is no comparison. I probably write better than you, though.
I was going to say, was that Tony Sarrow being
nice
humble?
Nice try, though.
Yeah, but then you threw in the probably write better than you, though, which is more like it. That is more like it. So how are the outside projects coming? How's the books coming? Where are you at with all that stuff?
It's good stuff. I mean, I'll admit that school starting, I'm at 15 units right now. I'm there every day. And I'm taking a novel class, which is it's both frustrating and a little bit scary, but it's also challenging. And I like challenges. So my short story writing hasn't stopped. It's just slowed down. My publisher is okay with it because she's got a journal coming out, which I am a part of. I wrote a poem about Bigfoot.
Ooh.
That was the request. The prompt was write a poem about Bigfoot. So I did, and it's actually really cute. It's short. It's about a kid that goes camping with his mom every week, and Bigfoot is there. And Bigfoot teaches him how to fish and tells him to go to college and all this other good stuff. And basically Bigfoot is his dad dressed up as Bigfoot trying to be his father. And you don't know why they broke up. You don't know if there was a divorce, if he was abusive. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. The story is the kid really believes Bigfoot is teaching him life lessons, and everybody's telling him it's not real, Bigfoot's not real, blah, blah, blah. So it's metaphorical, but it's also really cute. So that got accepted into a journal, and that's coming out. And then the short
now,
story
if this poem about Bigfoot and the child works out well, Tony, then you may have to pen an entire, like, Wednesdays with Bigfoot or something.
Right.
Like, that might
yeah.
need to be your next step.
There's a line in there where he talks about how Bigfoot tells him his favorite jokes, like how he's only a size 10 and his favorite drink is a fuzzy navel. And so it's like it's got humor, but it's supposed to hit you where it hurts, you know, like,
right.
Well, shit, that's his pops there, you know. So it's really cool. I like it. And I'm glad that it won. Well, it didn't win, but it got placed, like it was accepted and it's being published. But other than that, school's really kicking my ass in a good way. It's just a lot of reading. So my stuff's still on track to come out at the end of the year. But if I'm not done or if I don't feel comfortable, I have free range to wait till next year.
There you go. So excellent. Well, we, of course, will look forward to it, seeing when it comes out. And you're just racking up the credits, Tony. That's all you're doing. You're racking up
sir.
The writing. Not the school credits, but the writing credits. So, and nothing wrong with that at all. That's what you want to do. and you should. So, excellent. Wonderful. And, of course, at TonyAcero411 on the Twitter is, of course, where they can find you. That's the first, I think, outside of RJ City promoting his Twitter, that's the first Twitter promotion I've done in today's show. It only took 2 hours and 49 minutes for me to do it. At Greg DeMarco Show, at Wrestling Realist, just drop the first eye. It's where you can find Patrick O'Dowd. Yep, that's where we all are. So,
yes, we are
excellent.
On Twitter.
Good stuff. Well, Tony, tomorrow night, are you still doing the live recap of Raw?
I still am. I will admit, I'm pretty sure Larry hasn't looked at all for a replacement.
No, he hasn't.
But it hasn't hampered my schedule. It's not affecting my schoolwork. And I'll admit, I love doing it. I just know that 3 hours sitting down is not my cup of tea. The commenters are a lot of fun. And it's really funny to see how excited and invigorating the commenters are during the show versus when I post the full report, how those fans are nitpicking and challenging my writing and not realizing that this is a literal play-by-play and that the speed in which I type can hurt younger college girls.
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. So it's always enjoyable, though. I love the recap. I did Impact Wrestling recaps for like a year, and it was painful. It was hard. It's just, you know, you never get a break. And what's funny is pay-per-view is worse because pay-per-views don't have – they have some commercials that, like, the company puts in there, but we're not talking, like, commercials you get now. Like, you could take a bathroom break during Raw. You can't during a pay-per-view. It's just
– the only time you can piss during a pay-per-view is during a video package you don't want to miss.
Right. Yeah, or a Divas match. Either one. Because if someone recapped a Divas match during a pay-per-view recap and said, I went to the bathroom, that would actually be a phenomenal recap of a Divas match. So all the piss break jokes that we have about certain matches, like if you recapped a match that would be labeled as a piss break by saying you took a piss break, I would, for one, appreciate the recapper that much more. By the way,
five stars for my urination.
Exactly. You know, in an odd bit of talk about wrestler birthdays, Raven, we all know who Raven is now 49 years old. He turned 49. Raven's about to be 50. That's crazy to think about, that Raven is pushing 50. That is nuts. That's all I can say.
It is nuts. So. It's kind of like what I was saying about Orton, like the dude is a vet. And I mean, you know, we're getting to that stage. Well, you might already be there, but at least me, I'm getting to that stage to where I'm an old wrestling fan, and we've got these newer kids coming in telling us that, you know, we're wrong or we're bitter or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm about, what, 2 years away from being the next Scott Keys with my bitterness. But thank God I'm not as bad as him. But, yeah, it's an interesting dichotomy, you know, the young versus the old, and you see it everywhere. And I do. I always tell myself, and I think I made this illusion maybe about 6 months ago, how the 411 writing staff is so similar to the WWE locker room, as far as we know, in terms of egos, in terms of little side feuds, in terms of, you know, just the abilities and certain people that do things better than others, and we've got the head, and then we've got the people that work for the head. It's just, it's really funny to see, and I've always wanted to write about it, but I'll probably do that when and if I leave.
Yeah, because here, well, you know, you bring up the egos. No one has more ego than the two of us, though. It's we take the cake, big time.
That's
There's
the
no no
We're
way
like
around
the
that.
Michaels. You know, the thing is, we could back it up, broken back or not. Like, so.
Yeah, like we're basically the click. We're our own version of the click. That's kind of where it goes. By the way, and I almost put this person in the 5-1 versus, but I didn't. But what, you know, Randy Orton, he gets divorced, right? We all know that Randy Orton has gotten divorced from his beautiful wife Samantha. Now he's apparently dating JoJo from Total Divas. What is she, like 19?
Yeah, she's 19.
Okay, now here's the thing. All right, I believe that Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan are in this relationship to be in this relationship. I believe that Nikki Bella pounced on a newly divorced John Cena. But JoJo going to Randy Orton, I mean, that's just now there's a formula there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like that's basically someone there in between tapings of Total Divas was like, JoJo, Randy Orton's single, go now. Like, he was looking at you. And I just, you know, I cannot believe that's genuine on her part in any way. They just have a hard time. And maybe that's horrible for me to say, sorry, not sorry, because that's just, you know, I just don't see her doing anything but seeing the dollar signs and the benefit there. And, you know, I say the same thing about Nikki Bella. I do. I'm sorry if that upsets
right.
people.
Oh,
but.
I agree. You know, speaking of JoJo, which I'm not going to speak about her, but shortly connected, I forgot to mention the run-in that I had in Vegas and how bad I felt with a particular instance. So listeners, check this out. It's really late at night. It's like 3:30 a.m., 4 a.m., and I'm walking through Planet Hollywood. The place is dead. Like, I'm not in the casino part. I'm in the Miracle Mile area where it's basically a mall. And I see someone, and it's Justin Gabriel. And I'm like, holy shit. And I go up to him, and he's watching. He's following these two girls. I'm like, Justin, can I take a picture? And he's really hesitant. Like, because I'm assuming, well, I don't want to lose this tail just to take a picture with this fuck at 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
You know? But he's all like, I've got an idea. How about you go ask my agent? And he points to the girl in the yellow. And I'm like, okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right, you need some help. I'll be your wingman. So I go up to the girl, and I'm like, hey, you know, would you mind taking a picture for me of my friend and I? So she does, and she stands there with her friend. So it's two girls. It's me, it's Justin, and then it's this dude with a hat. So I take the picture, and it's a good picture. It's on Facebook on our Yes, Yes, Yes page, which I think you should go like right now if you have not yet. And the picture's taken and whatever. I give the phone back to the she gives the phone back to me. I take it. I shake his hand. I say thank you. And I jokingly tap the guy with the hat and say, hey, did you want a picture with me too? Like a dick, of course, because it's Vegas and it's me. And the guy smiles. And as soon as he smiles, I realize that it's Alex fucking Riley, and I probably insulted his ass.
That is outstanding.
I'd already pissed them off. At least I'm sure I have, because, you know, who's this little shit taking a picture with Justin Gabriel but not me? Like, I announced main event, bitch. No, but like, so I felt like if I said, oh, shit, Alex Riley, can I take a picture too? He'd probably be like, fuck you. Like, get away. So I just walked away feeling like an idiot because I could have got a picture with Alex Riley too, which I totally respect the dude as a wrestler and just as a person. I think he's a great comedic person, and I think he's a great talent. But, man, I've never felt so stupid in my life.
That is outstanding. That is. I'm glad you hadn't already told me that before this, because that is just phenomenal. The fact that it was Alex Riley, that is good stuff. So, excellent. Well, if we talk any longer, the British bitch is going to cut us off. So,
yeah.
Tony, next week, of course, we will be reviewing and doing the instant reaction to Night of Champions. And I look forward to seeing what you do with the Raw recap.
All right, guys. See you. Talk to you tomorrow.
There we go. Next week, of course, we have the immediate reaction to the Champions. The week after that, Scarlett Bordeaux takes your calls, and we do appreciate you listening, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. That was the Greg DeMarco Show.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that came off really weird. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's why I just got to... Third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so
hot! See, I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to think of something so much better. Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
And, of course, the Greg DeMarco Show is brought to you at Powerhouse Pro Wrestling Radio, powerhouseprowrestling.com, at PW Powerhouse, and, of course, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
It's time to get off.